This is Q Talk America.
The following broadcast contains adult humor, language, and topics, along with partial nudity. Actual knowledge is used sparingly. The show is a result of a lost bet and a bad game of rock, paper, scissors. It's the show with Clayton McKee. And now, a man with a face for radio, Clayton McKee.
Good evening, everybody. Welcome. It is a Tuesday night. You're in Studio C. It's the show on Q Talk America. Hi, my name's Clayton McKee. Alongside me this week, we're three still. We did three last week. We don't have Tourette's.
It feels like Karate Kid.
Grasshopper. Marnie Ryer and Al Perkins join me. Kat Carlson is taking care of some business outside of the studio. I did let her know, though, in the message today that she sent, that her pay would remain the same.
Oh, that's important.
Yes. What have you done with your mic? What did you do there?
I don't know. It all went cattywampus.
What did you do?
Nothing. It was actually down here by my left breast.
Stand by. Oh, there.
Oh, okay.
I want to make sure that everybody can hear you, Al. Even the deaf.
So many are worried about that.
He really could have been in the other room and been fine.
My hands. Oh, Amina, thank you for noticing our lovely Rachel Maddow picture. She's I made her our mascot. She watches over us here in the studio to make sure we have the appropriate follow-up questions.
We have all kinds of mascots.
Well, you can't. Well, you got to get to the
camera. Hell, I don't want to stand up.
Marnie has a... Wait, where's the
John Oliver mascot? Oh, your little thing is right over there.
No, I don't want you. Here, there you go, Marnie. There's your John Oliver.
I haven't seen this week's. I feel so behind.
I saw it. It was okay. It didn't have any kind of rah.
Oh, okay.
Huge, as it were.
I was just a wee bit drunkard on Sunday.
Different. No.
It's different.
I won't even hear of it.
How did that happen?
I don't
know. Well,
I don't
liquor went
you.
In my mouth.
I don't believe you.
He was saying today at lunch that he may just become a grape because of the wine he is taking
consuming.
In.
Consuming. I'm on like day three of like, oh, I couldn't possibly have a sure.
All right. If and you
then,
insist.
Well, then our waitress, server, bartender, whatever you call her at Durant's today was like, would you like some wine?
Hi,
like,
Normandy.
Yes.
Yeah, I was all set to say no, but I thought,
why not?
We're at Durant's.
Well, that'd be weird.
You gotta.
Yeah.
You gotta or gotta.
You gotta. I like it.
Before we get too far into the
show. The second glass was a shock, though.
Hi, Mom, also in the chat room, which brings me to a good point. Today marks, actually it was Monday that marked it, 4 years we have been doing this show. This is, if I'm not, oh, I hate those fucking bells. 4 years ago, we started this show, and it was supposed to be like a 2 hour, and we don't know what we're doing, and we still don't know what we're doing, but we're 3 hours.
Three.
Now we're three full hours. For those of you who didn't or weren't on the show train in the early days, the way we used to do the show was we did 2 hours, and then immediately, like within a week or two, we decided, well, we need to have more, because really, more is what you want. So then we used to do the show 2 hours live, and then we would do a third hour, but it wasn't broadcast, and you'd have to click in and, you know, to try to drive clicks to the website.
Oh, it wasn't broadcast? I didn't know that part.
Yeah, no, huh? Where were you?
I mean, I don't remember that part.
Yeah, no, we did. We were live.
I also don't remember them signing the Declaration of Independence. I'll just assume it happened.
No, we broadcast live the first two, and then the hour three, which was separate. Remember how it used to be separate in the feed, too?
Yeah.
So you had to click... You had to go so we could drive clicks to the website is what the part of the deal was. So you used to have to go to it. And they were like, fuck that. Let's just go live three. And now we're at 3.5. Most every Tuesday we do.
Don't scare them now.
2017 will be lure 4 hours.
No.
No, I know.
No, and I gave us that because, you know, sometimes we used
my hepatologist forbids it.
I gave us that extra little cushion of time because it used to be that we needed maybe, you know, a couple minutes after 10. I'm like, well, we'll just give ourselves a cushion. Well, now we're just right up on, we're just running
it. We're the give an inch, take a mile crowd. That's what you should just call this show.
Yeah.
So you can have 5 extra minutes after 10 o'clock. How about 30? All right.
Sure. 35, 40, 45.
Yeah.
So anyway, I thank you to everybody who has been suffering through us for the past 4 years. This is, tonight marks our 195th show.
Nice. So we'll save the champagne for 200.
For 200. Right. So we are,
that's fair.
We are about 5 weeks away from episode, well, 5 shows. I know, sure. Who knows, we may not be here 1 week for some reason. Sure. But the 200th show, 4 years, that's 195 times we've sat in front of these mics. And I don't know what we've said.
Still smells fresh.
Well, I washed
them. There's a couple bugs.
I don't know. You got one.
Oh, my God. It's
we don't know what happened
exciting.
In the studio, but there are a bunch of little gnats. So if you see us, like,
and
reaching
we're
out.
Not you, not me, not Al. Gnats.
No.
Otherwise.
No, just little tiny flying things. And I don't know where they came from, but they're... I don't know. But if you see us reaching out and grabbing shit, it's not that we've lost our mind. We're trying to snag the little bastards.
Well, let's... don't push it. You know, we have, perhaps, lost our minds.
So...
And there it is.
Mine's lost.
So, Marnie Ryder... Yes. The good success story out of Marnie Ryder from this week to last is, I think we may have figured out the bug in her MacBook because yes. I found an anti-malware scan that was yep. made for Windows.
Thank you so much for doing
well,
that.
Well, Matt Little directed me to it, so
thank
we're good.
Thank you, Matt Little. But, thank you. Happy
and now
birthday to Matt Little.
Oh, yeah, belated week, birthday yeah, to yeah, Matt, which I completely forgot about. Yeah. 39.
14th?
Oh, wait, is that right? 77? Yeah, 39 yeah. Yep. This year. So yeah, next year be the big 4-0 for Maddie.
Oh,
and nice. I completely had forgotten about him. I was doing an install that day, and just the whole day got away from me. And I literally was like, I don't know, 11 o'clock at night, was sitting at my computer. I'm like, oh, fuck.
Yeah.
So I sent him an email or I sent him a text, and I'm like, it's your birthday. Do you think you're gonna come out of your cave for a drink? So at 12:15, we went and had a couple just to round out the night.
Nice.
But I completely forgot about it. And then my Aunt Susie's birthday was there, and then it seemed like somebody else's birthday. I've forgotten. It doesn't matter. There's so many birthdays.
So many people.
Yeah. Well, I mean, we're 4 years old.
Well, there's that.
There's that. And we act like four-year-olds.
Four-year-olds.
So there's that.
Well. Yes. Yeah. Yeah, that's really a true statement. I like it. So, but yes, thank you for doing that. I have my appointment tomorrow.
Oh, at the Genius Bar. That's where we were going.
Yeah.
You're going to the Genius Bar tomorrow at the Apple Store so they can officially tell you that you're fixed or fucked or whatever.
Fixed or fucked. It's a new game. Fixed or fucked.
That's actually a new bar.
Yeah.
Yeah. There you have it.
Certain areas of the Castro District have fist or fucked.
Fist
totally
or fucked.
Different.
Oh. I'm not. That's not where I'm going.
Mm-mm.
No. Mm-mm. I will not be there.
And I love the myth. And I know there are so many people even in the chat room that are and elsewhere that are all on the... They drank the Apple Kool-Aid. They're all Apple all the time. The impenetrable Apple... And it's not the case. Phones, MacBooks, Apple devices can get infected, though it is not as common as a Windows device. But it's interesting that, you know, that story is gone.
The phone and the iPad, I've never had anything that I couldn't just turn off and on and fix. But,
that
the computer, the big boy, she goes down all the time.
Yeah. Like and the computer,
like
too.
Like a cheap hooker.
Yeah, we've all experienced issues with that. I mean, I've had hard drives crash, which is not a virus, obviously, but so that's what you're suffering through right now. Yeah. And you had shared with the
I think it's because I click on so many things for the show that are, you know, all the fucked up stories, and I'm like, this.
True, but the other thing we need to make sure of is that you do have an antivirus on yours that scans when you go these places that's up to date, because if it's not, there's no point.
Sure.
If it's dealing with virus definitions from a year ago, who fucking cares?
Right, It's like, well, no, like every 10 seconds now, I feel like I'm doing the malware that you put in. Like, check.
Yeah.
No.
And
scan the shit. Fix or fuck it.
Well, the other thing is, with Windows 10 now, I notice a lot, they update, because built into Windows 10 is their own antivirus and scanware. Those definitions, like teams do nothing but research and program for that.
Sure.
So they update every 15 minutes, an hour, whatever it is. Every time they find something new, they create the definition that scans for it, and then they have to update so that you continually have a database to search against. So every time you open that, I don't know if it automatically updates on its own when you open it, or do you have to click update?
I have to click.
Okay, so but you do. You click update first, get your and scan, because who knows what it'll find.
And and you said that could come all this time, so that's why I go on constantly.
Yeah,
that John Oliver bit when they were talking about having Apple build a backdoor into the phones to hack it.
Right.
Have you seen that, John Oliver, where they have the hackers finding out that they have the people building the antivirus software telling them they want to like become hackers, and they just lose their minds, like they get the message.
No, I haven't seen that.
Because they're always like one like 30 seconds ahead of the hackers and sometimes behind. So, like it was a really it's a really funny episode when he talks about like what it really looks like.
Mm-hmm.
For what the FBI, and then the FBI just hired hackers. Like we said, they were going to all along,
and that's what
they just hired hackers.
Yeah, Figure it out.
And now Apple's got to hire those same hackers to figure out how to put it back in place.
Or just to shut them up.
Exactly.
One of the two.
Right, absolutely.
We paid you $50. They're going to pay you $75.
You tell too far.
I am just smart enough to get this off the air or off the ground or off air. And everything else that I have in my world is computerized. I cannot imagine. I mean, Matt's a programmer, and that just is a language and a whole thing that's outside of my head.
That fast for him.
Oh, yeah. It flows out of him like water. It's crazy how he writes the programming that he does. And
yes. Literally a foreign language.
It totally is.
Yeah, yeah.
And then to be a hacker, you've got to, I don't know how you figure that out. It just doesn't something like, A, it doesn't work in my head because I've never been one who destroys or does, you know, that kind of thing. It's never been my motive. So I don't.
I guess I think it's more about taking stuff apart.
And that's you would like it.
Yeah. If I could, for a moment, play Pop
Perhaps.
Psychology 101
Please
on a.
This would be fun. I wish I had music for this little segment.
But I think it comes from the wanting to tear something down, find out how it's built.
No, true. But that to me, it's mechanical. When you get into the software and all that, it's nuts to me, and I can't figure out how to get through that. I'm the rat that can't get through that maze.
Yeah,
not gonna happen.
But there are those rats that do, and for some reason, they want to break it apart and then fuck with it a little when they put it back together.
Yeah.
I don't get the motivation, but
I don't either.
I just watch my Netflix and
you do.
And enjoy.
Like you do.
Like you do.
Enjoy. Yes.
So, and it's been such a busy weekend, I have not seen Unbreakable. I am embarrassed to tell you.
I have not either. I'm so glad that you haven't.
So I just need to...
Because I hadn't watched it yet.
I'm waiting for just the right time to pop my fat ass in front of the TV for 13 hours and...
Oh, just binge it all?
Unbreakable. I think it's only like 6.5 because they're only 30 minutes and I think there's only 12. So you can pound through that.
Sure.
But they, sure. Well, now all of a sudden it sounds like I'm doing Netflix and chill. But
that's funny.
All alone, he's doing it. But now because it was actually produced for NBC and then NBC passed on it, they just were like, no, we don't want that. So they sold it to Netflix and they did it as a 22 or 23 minute sitcom because there were supposed to be commercial breaks. Mm-hmm. Well, this year it was filmed for Netflix, so there's no... like specific act breaks where you would put a commercial. So they really are each episode is 6 minutes longer than it was last year. So, and they've
6 minutes funnier.
You can do a lot in 6 minutes. Yeah. That's forever.
Well, just, and like the one thing that they did with Netflix that I always loved, and not with Netflix, with Arrested Development, was that Arrested Development would bleep. And I love when, because they do it on, they do it all the time on The Goldbergs and it cracks me up. They do it occasionally on Black-ish. Now they do it on The Real O'Neills all the time, which is just funny. When they swear, but they bleep it out, and bleeping it out to me is just funnier and just kind of figure out what they said. You know, like, thanks fucking giving every year she manages to fit that in the Goldbergs. But in Arrested Development, when they all finally decide to talk shit about the mom, and Buster is drunk enough to feel safe, and he just lets out this spew of garbage, but it just... beep, and you just watch everyone else's faces just fall in horror of like one said she was mean, one said she was a bitch, one called her a cunt, and then he lets out like a 5 minute rant that's just bleeped out. And you never want to know what it says because it'll never be as funny as the bleep and the looks on everybody's faces.
Because you don't know what he's saying exactly.
So I love that when they went to Arrested Development, they still beeped out the swear words because it was just as funny to imagine like what, because you know they fit in the C word because that's the name of the mom's boat is the C word.
Okay.
That's fantastic.
So whenever they show her on the news, they're like, and the C word is heading out to
sea. Oh, I do enjoy that.
And is it actually C or is it S-E-A?
S-E-A. So she's going C word.
But that's even funnier.
That show is so funny. And the one time the mom walks in the room right when Job says that he has to sell the boat. Or is fighting having to sell the boat, and Jason Bateman goes, you've got to get rid of the C word. And the mom opens the door, and he hears it, and she goes, I will leave when I'm ready. And it was when they finally said it in front of her.
I will leave when I'm ready.
You cannot
it
make me leave.
It's just the fun, the fact that they made cunt jokes on Arrested Development for 3 years and got away with it.
And got away with it. That's the bigger one.
That's awesome.
That's the bigger one.
That's very, very good stuff.
Ms. Ryer,
yes,
what have you done this week that you care to update us on?
What happened this week? It was one thing that I cannot forget. It was my anniversary.
Oh, 5 years?
Happy anniversary.
Yeah.
Is it 5 years?
It was, yes. So we went out to a lovely dinner. It was one of those places that, you know, like they, as Aaron was enjoying, because they have the, they scrape off the crumbs off your table.
Oh, yes.
So it was very, very fancy.
Very fancy.
Got it.
It was a place called Eddie V's. I don't know if you've ever
been.
I don't know of that one. North Scottsdale, really great. It was just a wonderful, wonderful day. And so we did that. And otherwise, I went to a wedding on Sunday for Rebecca Winninger, who Becca Winninger used to be on
the network.
This network. Mm-hmm. And Becca and Wendy got married. It was a lovely day.
What show was she on?
She was on
the political agenda, right.
So anyway, it was lovely, and it was a who's who of a what's what.
A what's what?
Because it was lovely. I got to see Joan was there. Joan Green. Okay. I hadn't seen her in forever.
I haven't seen her in a long time.
But Mayor Stanton was there.
Oh,
very nice.
And so it, that's what I
what,
mean.
What was
who?
His there, was his role?
Kate and Ruben Gallego were there. And it was
his role, fun. Stanton's role there, just supporting friend or
supporting friend.
Got
yeah.
it.
Yeah. Okay. And Nicole Stanton was there as well. And
we're still in the same room with each other. That's
yes,
good to know.
I know. That was at first it was like, whoa, but I was glad to see that.
Well, she was in the parade this year too.
I noticed
and
that.
I had she was up there, but I didn't have in my scripts, I don't believe she was named.
Right.
I just looked up and saw her sitting atop. I want to say she was in one of the fire trucks that went through for something.
That could be.
But I just don't remember who or what, but she wasn't. Like I said, it wasn't explicitly stated that I needed to call her out. I just saw her.
Sure. Absolutely.
Oh, Rebecca. Yes?
Yeah. Becca. Yeah. Becca Winninger.
No.
Nicole Stanton.
Nicole Stanton was in the yeah. I didn't see. Was Rebecca in the
She looked lovely, and Nicole Stanton did. She just looked lovely. She's a really, seems like a very lovely woman.
Barely recognized the mayor when he's standing next to me.
Right?
Can you imagine how I feel about his wife?
Right. And she's a delight.
I voted for him and I like him, but that day that we took our picture with him after being like an awesome, who the fuck is this guy?
So funny.
That was very funny.
Bless you. Other than that, I got a new beaver open my beer.
Excuse me, what?
And, a beaver replacement is very important.
May we see said beaver?
Sure. Yep, okay. Not sure that I would ever buy that in a store.
It was $2 and it made me laugh.
Oh, yeah. Well, just be able to say, I got a beaver.
I got a new beaver.
Let me see that beaver. I'm going to show all of the viewing audience.
I had to get a new beaver.
Please don't get a close-up of her beaver.
That's my new beaver.
Oh, that's funny.
It's my new beaver bottle opener. Beaver.
It's imagine how much I like things when they're like shoved up in the camera.
We can figure out how to set him right here. And just take
I know.
The place
just hang it. I like it.
It almost looks like a turd, though.
Hello.
Beaver?
I'd like to.
Ouch. That's going to scare a lot of lesbians.
Not really.
A beaver with steel teeth?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Tell how you use your teeth, I guess.
Look at that. He's got a lovely little.
He does have a little design. I know it. Isn't that great?
Thanks. It's lovely.
Thanks. I liked it.
$2.
$2. And the best part was, why I still have this.
Her pocket beaver.
$20 they wanted for it.
Well, how did you get it initially? How did you get it for
90% off?
And then I got 90% off and another 20% off coupon.
You know what you just did? Algebra.
Shit. Fuck that.
Fuck
that. I did not. Anyway, I just thought that was great. $20 for. Who's going to pay $20 for a beaver? $20.
Well, yeah, exactly. You know, listen, chocolate beaver.
$20
on the dresser.
In a strange bit of irony, we have a story coming up later where people paid more than $20.
That seemed like it came from way too high. I was like,
that was a bad throw. It was a bad throw.
It's all right. No, the natives
are planning a revolt. Like, what the fuck?
Thought that was fantastic.
Now, Mr. Perkins, he did it. I know because I spent time with you earlier today at lunch. You did a very big thing today, which for you, it's like a once every quarter, if not once a year. You washed your car.
Oh, I washed my car.
No, it's like every
2 months, let's say.
And the best part is when he goes to the car wash, they try to sell him on the quick pass, the monthly billing. Sure. Do you wash your car more than 2 times a month? And he's like, look at the car.
Yeah. Look what's being dragged in here behind me.
Underneath all this crap is a Ford Fusion.
Yeah. Look at the shape of this beaver. Do you think
I can't tell this thing?
Almost. It didn't have... It had not hit my mouth yet.
Oh,
Oh my gosh.
So you washed your beaver?
Yeah, what happened? I did. A thorough scrubbing.
Oh, good.
It's a hybrid beaver.
It's recommended to clean the beaver at least, I don't know, four quarterly, or five times a year. Quarterly. Yeah, quarterly.
Of course, sure.
Semi-annually.
A clean beaver.
So we buffed her up.
Well, there
spit
you
shined
have
her,
it,
if you will. And
sounds like it.
That was a fun, had a little, woke, I was going to work Saturday night, and then but I did it as like a secret, like kind of keep my name in your back pocket, and if you need me, use me, but if, you know, if you don't, oh, don't mention, you know, keep it on the down low.
Right.
But I woke up Saturday afternoon with a really, really stiff neck, and I was like, you know what, fuck it, not going in, but I'm not calling in sick because I'm sure not officially working. And then I was like, well, I'm going to, you know, take some Advil, go to bed. And I go back to resting, and then I planned a day, invited a few friends to meet up, our friend Frank and little Kevin, and yes. Michael joined us, and we did a little brunch down at Bliss Rebar, and then a brief walk, just one block up and two blocks over to
let me explain to you.
Luster.
All right.
His depth perception is off, his distance perception, just two blocks, maybe three. Sure. We walked from 4th and Garfield to 1st and Washington.
And the presidents don't go in order, so don't let that fool you at all.
Yeah, exactly.
So that is three blocks one way. I wasn't lying about that part.
One way, yeah. From east to west. We did an east to west jaunt that was three blocks.
Sure. Yes.
Everything else was north to south, and it was multiple. It was a lovely walk. We got there. We went to see Jason Jason Carlton working at his new position.
Fantastic.
Up on the Luster pool on the top of Palmar Hotel.
And we just wanted to say hello.
Oh, very nice.
Yeah,
very nice. I missed that part.
Yeah, he's managing the Luster. We just meant to go say hello. We weren't expecting anything for it, you know, maybe a table near the shade if it was possible, sure. But
or 5 hours of sitting there.
Yeah, but we got a cabana. It was very fancy.
He printed up a sign. Oh, I should do that. Well, he printed up a sign that was reserved for us. It was all very funny, but
so it was nice. And then they don't have the kind of wine that I like at the upstairs bar. So bougie bitch that I am, I asked him to go downstairs and get me a bottle that I did enjoy. And it was nice.
Bougie bit.
Yeah, and we had four of us that started, and we invited guests into the cabana. We had little cabana chats and then sent them on their way.
Cabana chat.
Be gone now?
Yeah.
Was it?
Peasants be gone.
I would like you to take your beaver and leave.
Was it SCTV? They used to have the character, the old gal had cabana chat.
No, that was Mad TV.
Oh, no.
Mad TV.
I'm Dixie Wentworth. Moisture.
Oh, she had the hot cabana boy always, but every time she moved her joints, you heard all these creaking sounds.
Dixie, sometimes I feel like you're my mom. Well, that's understandable considering how much time you spent inside of me.
Wow.
Oh, she was my favorite. Oh,
that was good.
You drive your car on my block and park it in my garage. That show was so funny. So funny. So then that was it. And then we wandered back to some... Oh, Jason drove us back to Bliss Rebar and karaoke
because
was
Clayton
starting.
Because said, fuck you, I'm not walking three blocks again.
Well, Jason got off work and I'm like, well, let's just ride over.
Okay, sure.
And
so they were doing a little karaoke there, so I hooked my wagon to that shit and stayed for a couple hours longer at Bliss. And
here's the there's the sign that Jason printed up for us in our little cabana.
I saw that sign, did not catch on.
Yeah,
I just saw it in passing.
That I was Anne Guest. The rest were peasants.
Yeah. Yes. Oh,
nice.
You talking about your beaver reminded me of a...
No. Yes.
Well, Nero, welcome to Marnie's
Nero.
Beaver.
You talking about your beaver reminded me of a meme I saw earlier today on Facebook, and I wanted to share it with you. Because due to budget cuts, the Navy SEALs are being phased out. They're now going to use Navy otters. I saw that. Look at the stern look on that little otter's face. Holding that water gun. Made me laugh.
Do they call them nodders?
Oh, I don't know.
I think that's what they should be.
Well, they don't call the SEALs Neils. So, wouldn't you... No. It's a Navy otter.
Not
carry the one. You did algebra again.
I did.
God damn it.
You just confused me on that.
Left to her own devices, she can't stop.
I do not know.
Oh,
I do not
gosh.
Know.
Yes.
Oh, I'm still trying to find stories here because they're all on my phone, apparently. Sorry.
Well, why aren't
they? I apologize. I have no idea. But
and then,
I'm listening, I
promise. Is there a sink that's not happening?
And then I was all set to get home and lay down today and at 4 p.m. promptly and watch the polls close at 7 in New York and the motherfuckers close at 9. So I set my alarm for 6 and I woke up and...
Oh, you got a nap in?
A little bit.
Oh, I did not.
I think nap is overselling it, but a little shut-eye, a little disco something or other.
So, there you go.
I'm sending Nichols, you a couple of
and I have to say, I think Rachel Maddow and Brian Williams need a vacation because they were just... slap happy and funny today.
Really?
And I only watched like the first hour. I'm like, you got like 5 hours of commentary to go. And they were calling somebody at the Trump campaign. And she was talking. Oh, yeah, it was from the Trump. And they were talking over the phone. And it just got worse and worse. And finally, Brian Williams cuts her off. And he goes, that's what we in the business like to call a crappy cell phone reception. And Rachel's like, very technical. Very, it's technical.
I enjoy her.
They cut to... And they have Nicole Sullivan and what's his butt that ran the Palin campaign. He's for our fucking state. What's his name?
Oh, McCain.
The McCain Palin campaign. They have the two of them.
What?
They have the two of them in studio with them, and then Brian Williams like tosses it to somebody who's not in the studio, and he goes, "Well, we're obviously offering safe refuge and comfort to Republicans in our studio. Would you like to say something to them?" It was like, what? Safe harbor and comfort to our Republican friends.
Well, he doesn't have to be as structural, if you will, as on NBC.
MSNBC, they usually hold it together on election nights till like 5 p.m. Like they're already crap.
As long as he's not telling a story about himself, they'll let him do just about anything he wants to do, I guess.
Maybe it's like Diane Sawyer and they're exhausted.
Oh, yeah. She's boozy. Doing shots.
She's always a little sleepy-eyed, though. I'm always worried she's going to go upside down in the bathtub any second. You know what I mean?
Sawyer?
Yeah.
Oh.
You mean like Paula Houston? Houston, we have a problem?
You said Paula Houston. I'm like, have you already forgotten her name, Mariah? Her name was Whitney. Have some respect.
Paula Houston. God.
We have a problem.
We hardly knew you, Paula.
Remember that one singer, Paula Houston, Carol Houston? She's fabulous. What was her name? Shirley's daughter. What was her name?
Poundstone. Nope, not a singer. No,
Paula, I don't think that's who it is.
Paula Deen.
So.
Paula Deen. Oh, Kukla Friend Molly.
Between the bugs and the wine, I'm going down. Oh. And Clayton, you, what'd you do?
Just normal stuff for me. Drag Race at Stacey's on Mondays is doing very well. I'm very excited about that.
Good.
So doing that. Oh, the big thing that happened this week. My mother, in her backyard, had about a 20-foot-tall saguaro cactus that was in the backyard, and it's been bothering her for some time because it's 20 feet tall.
Sure.
Winds come up, and it moves, and it sways. The biggest fear was it's going to wind up in the pool. It's just going to snap over.
Sure.
Well, we had no choice but to find, because I couldn't take it down.
And it was windier than shit.
The other day, right.
The other day, that
was. So we took down, we hired a gentleman who was great to come and take it down. And it was very interesting to watch yesterday. Him and he had the crew of three, and they took that sucker down in less than an hour. And it's just really interesting to watch how they do that. And they just manhandle those pieces, and they're all stickers. Like, the one guy wasn't even wearing gloves. I'm like, are you high? But his hands were not even, I figured they'd be like, you know, rough like this table.
Sure.
No, he just knew what he was doing. But they did it.
Clearly uses a lot of lotion.
And he said based on the size of that, that would have been about a 4,000 to 5,000 pound cactus. Because of the wake. So he said, if that would have fallen, like all the cool decor on the pool, all that, he goes, yes, we've pulled a few out of pools before. He goes, but you're better off to get it before it goes underwater.
Before it does that. But Can you imagine?
But as he was cutting it.
That would have been a nightmare.
You know, in the old cartoons, like the old Bugs Bunny or the Roadrunner Coyote cartoons, you know, they'd find a cactus in the desert all the time. And they would just pour water out of it, you know, like in the cartoon thing. It was interesting to watch him with the chainsaw cut it because he literally just water was running everywhere.
I'm fascinated by that.
Yeah,
I've got a video on. I can show you later. It's just astounding to watch. It was very, very interesting. But fortunately,
so now we know when we're in the desert,
tap the cactus like the coyote does.
Might be able to get you some maple syrup or water.
That's
either
right.
One.
You don't know.
The other thing about it that was kind of cool was I hated to see a perfectly living thing be taken out, but we found out he got up there and found out that it was all rotten. The whole, like, from the top and in the base was all rotten. So it was on its way out.
It was
anyway,
doomed, yeah.
Okay. The other cool thing was, and this is on his website, and he does this, because oftentimes, for those of you who aren't around the Phoenix area or live in the desert, the big cactus... are often homes to birds. They mm-hmm. tunnel into them, and it's their safe haven, and right, nothing's going to get you on a fucking cactus 20 feet off the ground. In the cactus, they realized that there was a bird's nest, and there were five babies in the nest. They took that section, and they set it aside, and they go to... There's a bird sanctuary, and they turn in all of the birds.
Oh,
and they take... Which I thought that
was... Is that
was
just what they tell you, and they just throw it on the street as they leave?
No, no, I don't
He actually got a little box from Mom as he was leaving, because they transfer the birds to it and then drop them off at the bird sanctuary. However, the confused bird who was showing up to try to feed and was, like, looking around was very confused.
Yeah.
But... The little, she doesn't realize it, but the kidnapped children of her are going on to better and bigger things by way of a bird sanctuary. So, but that was the most interesting thing. And like I said, he said it would take about an hour and a half, and it was down in less than an hour. And Mom and I are both just in shock of how easy it was for them to do.
Yeah.
Boom.
Someone had told me years ago that there are all these tarantulas in there. Like, that was I don't know if that's an old wives' tale or if it's actually true.
Well, if you don't clean up your
shit out,
yeah,
of
if you don't clean your palm trees, mm-hmm. they fill with scorpions.
Is it kind of like cleaning your beaver?
It is like cleaning your beaver.
Okay, yeah.
You got to trim your. In that case, you got to trim back your beaver.
Trimming the beaver.
Trimming the beaver.
Got it. So not just
a well-trimmed beaver is really an asset.
Because an untrimmed beaver gets scorpions. Yeah, that's where they live.
Okay. Okay.
That's
I
just wish there, if I were king, I would make it a rule or figure out a way the city paid for
if
it.
If I were the king.
All palm trees would have to be trimmed.
Yeah.
Because those people that leave what they call the beard on the trees.
Uh-huh. The beard on the beaver?
Yeah. But you're right. But you're right. All the crap grows up underneath them, and it's insane. Yeah. I would prefer every palm tree be trimmed.
Unsightly, mm-hmm. she said.
And I completely agree.
I want two vacuums in every house.
Of course you do. Of course you do.
A woman in every kitchen.
Now we're talking about John Kasich.
Yeah.
I did not want Taylor Swift tickets. I have an important question for you, Mr. Kasich. Did you see that on Mad Out where she did that whole segment about all of the run-ins that Kasich has had with women and how horrible he is at it?
He's really bad.
Really bad.
Yeah. Oh, I haven't seen that.
Did you see there was another one that she did last night where he was with a bunch of Jewish leaders in New York.
Okay.
And he went through this whole thing about God and God is the Lamb of Gods. And he went through this whole thing and he was talking about Passover. And they cut back to Rachel and she goes, so what he's just taught the Jewish community is when they go to vote, they're going to see his name and go, Passover. Oh no, that wasn't Matt Al. That was Colbert. He said that last night. They're dark hair and they both wear suits.
Yeah.
They look very similar. Glasses.
Similar hairstyle.
Yep.
Yes. It's very confusing.
It can be.
But no, but he's like, they're gonna look, he's like, Passover, and then they're going to the next person.
This wasn't a good place for Republicans to vote in New York. This wasn't a good time because Trump's awful, but they voted for him. Luckily not many.
Well, there was one city that he found that they had 14 people that had voted in the whole city, and it was like seven, four, and three.
So they actually put it up as like the percentage of votes. And in case you wanted to do algebra again, 7 was 50%.
Right.
Because there were 14 votes.
I didn't, so I just stared it out like,
thanks for the
50% because I wasn't there.
I like how you, for those of you playing the home game, 50% is...
Yeah. We're going to play light algebra.
Yes.
It's good stuff.
So, good but, stuff. But, and you know, Trump won, but it's his home state.
It's smart. Actually, it's everybody's fucking. That's very smart. Stay with the pine trees and the birds, because I'm telling you.
Oh, no. Y'all got mosquitoes. You win that war.
Yeah, that's true. Well, we look like we have mosquitoes in the studio.
Yeah, so. If one of them bites me, I'm done. So Hillary won New York, it looks like, with... 81% of the vote in. She is winning 57.6 to 42.4. So she is getting her double-digit win.
Good.
And she will be ahead at least 30 delegates, if not more.
Good.
So that kind of is the beginning of the end. Because that makes it a little bit insurmountable, because if you remember the projections, he had to start winning everything. By like 65-70% to catch up.
And I think everybody kind of thought that was going to happen.
And a loss by 14 or 15. Yeah, but they were like little states.
But I think people were talking like, oh my God, he's really winning everything and the momentum. And it's like, well, slow down.
So, but I mean, this is a huge amount of delegates that he's unfortunately not going to get. And they move on to Pennsylvania, which will probably go the same way with the big, you know. And this is the same. It looks like the bigger cities went for Clinton. Oh, and now another Nassau County finally came in. Clinton 61%. So Nassau County was the last one down in the New York region, down in the city part. But Brooklyn, Manhattan, everything, like big wins down there. And he's like 50. Most places, he's ahead by a few votes, but if you look at the vote totals, like Manhattan's like 175,000, Niagara County at one point was like 8,000. You know what I mean? Like, so winning Niagara County, you won by 1,000 votes. She beat you by 60,000 somewhere else, like county by county. So that'll help him a little bit. But so now they get to Pennsylvania. I think Pennsylvania, New Jersey, Connecticut, Rhode Island. And I think Rhode Island is the only one that has
all the rest of them. The 25th?
Yeah, next week. And everything else is closed primaries again, like New York is.
Al has low protein in his wine.
Oh, they don't drink much.
Drink it up.
Yeah, it's delicious. So they're all closed primaries, so his odds of like a big win anywhere are probably pretty slim. And I really, if I could just bitch about this for one more second.
I'll take some time and talk for yourself on the show.
Thanks.
You're welcome.
I'd like just to share. Do.
Please do.
But you really can't register as an independent and then be pissed off that no one lets you vote in the Democratic primary. If you want to vote in the Democratic primary, then register as a Democrat. If you want to vote in the Republican, register as a Republican.
Right. And the only thing, I believe I've shared this on here before. Absolutely. But when I first moved down here, either it had just changed because in Minnesota you could be registered independent and be able to go to the polling location and not polling, but caucus.
Which is fine. But
I'm just saying, so when I got here, I was registered independent. It just made sense to me. This is how I.
But if you don't want to take part in either one of, if you don't want to identify with either one of the two parties,
then don't complain
if no one invites you to play at either one of the two parties. You know what I mean?
Yeah, you only have this sandbox or this one.
Yeah.
But that was very troubling for me when I first got there because then I'm like, fuck you. Next day I'm like, I'm a Democrat. So just put me down. And I had to wait.
Because going to do is vote in the primaries for the Democrats, and why not register? Right. So in case they decide they're going to throw out people. Because I'm like, I get it. But registering independent, good for you. Bully for you. Sure. Hurrah.
But I was at a state where I could walk in and say, I need the Democratic ballot.
But when they change that, Minnesota changes it, you can't be upset that.
Absolutely. You're absolutely right.
We want Democrats to pick their Democratic nominee.
That's right.
Why would we invite you in here when you chose not to be a Democrat? You can wait outside. Right. When it's time for everyone to vote, we'll call you. But right now, Democrats are picking their Democratic nominee. And so I don't get everybody all up in arms about it. Like, you have to pick the team if you want to go play on the team. Mm. Like, you can't be like, I'm just going to sit over here and then piss and moan. No, pick a side.
Right.
Till the general election, because that one's for you. That's where you decided you wanted to play.
So the general public gets to vote.
But this one's for Democrats. Just don't get all pissy with me. That really, and I get being disappointed because I wanted to vote for Bernie because he's an independent. Well, he decided to join a different club and he kind of left you out there in the sandbox for yourself.
Right.
And should have called people in October on the phone and been like, hey, New York's coming up. You should probably switch your affiliation.
Well, and when,
but no one thought the New York primary would ever make any difference.
Right.
When they're doing the polling and they're trying to go back to past elections, it's been so long since New Yorkers had any kind of a say in a presidential primary. Okay. They had nothing to go on.
Okay.
New York has not played a role in so long.
And now?
Which is, what, the third biggest state? Third or fourth? You can't keep track of who lives in New York and who went to Florida. They just go back and forth like ping pong.
You sent me a link. Do I need to do something with that before headlines?
I was just going to say, well, if you can.
Is there a picture? What is it?
There was a video, like a person moron.
Oh.
But if you can, don't even think twice about it.
It's challenging to jump from this to get to video.
Yeah, then okay, don't. Yeah.
If there's a picture of a still,
there might be a picture of his fat face, but that would be about it.
Okay. Have we a name for said human? Should we start the headlines? Wow, it's later. God, we can't waste time when we want to.
It's all right. We're going to do that. Let's do this first, and we'll be right back with headlines and more from Q-Talk America.
Carl!
You're listening to Q-Talk America.
And now, we dance.
Is the Q-Talk America Radio Network.
Alrighty, here we go. Headlines on a Tuesday night, April 19th, 2016. Show 258 and our four-year anniversary. Oh, ain't that a pisser?
Tea Party Panic.
Exposed leaders.
Gay couple with a bad RSVP.
YouTube star comes out.
9 bad reply to alls.
Obama makes history again.
Sarah Palin's still a cunt.
And a long-awaited, perfectly timed tweet. These and other things we'll talk about right here on Q-Talk America on a Tuesday night. I do enjoy a stirring headline stinger.
It's a stinger.
I love a stinger, possums. I do. Oh, I miss Damon. She's still around somewhere. Anyway.
Yeah, I saw her final tour last year in Palm Springs.
Oh, that's right. You did go to that. Mm-hmm. She was a good time to go.
It was
a few times I got to see
still
her concert.
Funny to the very end, and God bless her, 80 years old doing choreography.
Still a little slower choreography.
Yeah.
I just love her. She do. Yeah, doing this.
Still a charmer.
I just love that show. Dame Edna Everidge. I want to say we did a story about this. Some months back where they were starting these. Local religious conservatives represented by a legal foundation that the Southern Poverty Law Center identifies as an anti-LGBT hate group are among the plaintiffs in a civil suit served on the city and county of San Francisco today, which seeks the removal of the newly constructed, this is where the French word comes in, is it pissoir?
Pisser.
I would say pisser.
Pisser, yeah.
Pisser, but it's a pissoir. Located in the Dolores Park neighborhood. Neighborhood residents successfully advocated to build the facility, which is similar to streetscape fixtures that many European cities have featured since like the 19th century. Plaintiffs behind the lawsuit allege that the pisser is an illegal public nuisance because it's, quote, indecent, offensive to the senses, grossly unseemly. Wow, that was and offensive to manners and morals because everybody poops. Apparently, yeah. Everybody pees. They simultaneously argue that it is not sufficiently accessible. It's in the middle of the park. You just walk right up to it. Dolores Park, located between the city's diverse and colorful Castro and Mission neighborhoods, ranks number one on Yelp among San Francisco's best nude parks. For years, the popular 16-acre destination has been well known for its vibrant counterculture, immodest sunbathers, pot brownie vendors, spectacular city views, and famously irreverent Hunky Jesus contest, which is sponsored annually by the Sisters of Perpetual Indulgence. City Attorney spokesman Matt Dorsey, who declined to comment substantively on the lawsuit's allegations, said, quote, if I had to predict the top 100 things in Dolores Park likely to offend these plaintiffs, I would have guessed this would not have made the cut. Now, I have pictures of said pissoir.
I do appreciate the pissoir.
Now, here's one in Dolores Park that's got a little dog. So it's a little area that you could just stand in, and it's got the little thing you can't see through it. So you can just stand there and take a leak. A guy. Now, clearly, it's not. I wouldn't say it's for women.
No.
But you can stand there, and here's one that's next to a train, where you can just do your thing right there.
Yeah.
So what if you're on this side?
What do you mean? Well, no, that you stand in the circle. You stand inside the circle there.
Yep.
And just do your thing.
Anybody catching on to what I mean? What about the backside?
Yeah. Just bare ass.
Bare ass.
Well, how many grown men drop their trowel completely to take a leak?
Oh, have you been in public restrooms? It's way more common than it should be.
Well, then they cannot do that out there.
Granted, they're usually like 9 sheets to the wind.
Oh. Yeah, no.
But I always love because the Phoenix, Phoenix, Arizona, USA comes to the corner. I'm like, wait, this story is in Phoenix?
No, right, this is in San Francisco.
No, but, it, but because
you see it up at the top.
When you see it up at the top. So every time you put a picture up there, I'm like, oh, I guess I missed that part. It's in Phoenix?
No, that is not.
Not yet.
No.
Not yet. It looks like more of a backdrop for like soccer or something.
Yeah, like that's the goal.
Be kicking it, yeah.
Maybe when you take a leak, you'll go! and they play that stupid that horn. Whatever that horn is.
Those things are very, very
annoying. By the way, horn sounds horribly impersonated by
that's
me.
Right. Yeah. That's right.
Terribly sorry.
It's okay. So there is a tea partier panicking. Also, we need to discuss something about this said tea partier. 54-year-old James Webb. Come on. So he has a YouTube channel, guys.
Okay. We do, too.
Yep. That's my point.
Yep.
And he has 1,200 subscribers.
We have 12.
And about 1.5 million views.
Okay.
I don't know what to do with this fucking douchebag.
So what is his deal?
Well,
Is he barking on the same tree that Trump is about hate and bigotry and all that?
Well, if I could get that thing out of his... I mean, that's the guy. Just a big...
He's a weight loss professional, clearly.
He's a dumbass. And I figured that in order to be able to read this story...
What hat are you going to wear?
She's going to wear a different hat.
Oh, yeah, your Drumpf hat.
Yep.
Oh, there you go.
We got the Donald Drumpf.
Look at that. Look at you. How's that looking?
I don't know, but it's way too high to actually put it on. So
it looks like a trucker's hat now.
Oh, you have no idea. It's the dumbest fucking hat on. It doesn't.
Make an America dump again. I love that.
It's fantastic. So liberals often scratch their heads at Tea Partiers who vote Republican, often against their own best interests. The majority of Tea Partiers would deny that a vote for a Republican might not be the best for them. After all, they're still brown people, African Americans, LGBT people, Muslims, etc. to hate out there, you know. One celebrity Tea Partier, though, is having a bit of a change of heart. No, he doesn't suddenly love people of color or LGBT people, but he does love his Obamacare.
Oh.
He does love his Obamacare. Like, so he might vote for Hillary Clinton at this point because of his Obamacare. And that was the video that I had wanted to send. So he goes on this rant. 54-year-old James Webb, he's a retired, it says, Tea Partier. In fact, he's kind of a famous Tea Partier. He has his own YouTube channel, the 1,200 subscribers and about 1.5 million views. Just this week, he posted this racist video about how Mexico will pay for Trump's wall. Like, he had just had all this to say.
More algebra, I swear to God.
By the way, and he's wearing a Donald Trump hat.
Trump hat,
but
right.
Not the Drumpf, but, you know.
Well, he's not smart enough to get that one.
That's right. He would watch John Oliver. As often happens, though, when real life meets ideology, his compromise might be to vote for Hillary Clinton so he can get his Obamacare. He says, I asked myself, which party has helped me out the most in the last, I don't know, 15 years, 20? And it was the Democrat Party.
Dramatic Democrat.
The pausing.
The Democrats. If it wasn't for Obama and that Obamacare, I'd still be working. With Obamacare, I got to retire at age 50 because if it wasn't for Obamacare, I would have had to work until I was 65, get on Medicare because, you know, health insurance is expensive when you've got medical problems. He loves that Obamacare covers his gym membership.
Oh.
Did you see the fat fucker?
I said that he was in charge of weight loss.
That's right, which he really plans to use one day.
One day, he really does.
But you know, the Republican Party, they haven't done nothing for me, man. Nothing, he said. So I'm leaning toward voting for Hillary unless something major comes up. I don't trust the Republicans anymore because they're wanting to repeal that Obamacare. And I don't want them to do that, man, because then I'll have to go to work again.
Aww.
My life's already planned out. Just a tough decision, he says.
My life's already planned out. I would like to see the flowchart where he's gone from retired to the rest of his life.
It was such a nightmare listening to this guy. Just a tough decision. He says, I voted for Republicans for 32 years. I'm a charter member of my Tea Party.
Charter
Patriots chapter. I'm also a veteran of the U.S. Army under Reagan, you know, when Reagan was in. That's how it's under Reagan, I suppose. That was great when Reagan was in there, he says. Well, things have changed, so unless the Republicans change with it, I'm probably going to have to swing my vote over to Hillary. And I think, what a fucking douchebag, you fat fucking douchebag in a Donald Trump hat. Like, what in God's name? He really... I listened to three of these videos, and it made me damn near insane.
Well, at least he's trying to push up the welfare, that they're supporting the welfare state, and now...
Everything about him, right, was talking about the fact that these people, you know, because those blacks and those, et cetera, those brown people and those Muslims.
Those brown
That's what he talks about. It was insane. And he talks about the fact that, like, well, you know, they go and they get those food stamps, and they just take advantage of the system. I'm going to go back to fat fucker with a gym membership that he's not using.
And
not having to work, and not having to this, and not having that. But he is mad about Obamacare being repealed, so therefore, when it's not convenient for him...
Yeah.
And that's how so many
food stamps go directly back into the local economy. Yeah. They have to be spent. Mm-hmm. You can't save them. You can't hoard them. Swiss banks won't take them. Right. You can't put them in the Cayman Islands. You have to go to the store and spend them so your local economy gets a boost from this money.
Yes. Right.
So they're using them locally. You can't. People don't drive four states over to go to AJ's with their food stamps.
Right.
They go locally.
The fact that this dumbass is on there with 1,200 subscribers... And the fact that what blew my mind was the fact that there are 1,200 people that may or may not agree
him.
With him believe him or think. I mean, Jesus, the poor fuckers that listen to us every week.
The poor people.
No, but God bless you for doing that and everything. But this son bitch, you're gonna sit there, son bitch.
What are you, Buford T. Justice?
I have to talk like him.
Let me spit my my wad into your beaver.
Oh, I'm terribly uncomfortable right now.
You think your beaver's gonna feel?
I'm moving my beaver over here
next to John Oliver.
Next to John Oliver. I trust John Oliver more with my beaver.
I'll leave my beaver with a Brit anytime.
But it blows my mind. So anyway.
Well, the too much for shit me. Bubbles to the surface. So we're seeing more and more of these people come out and express their opinions, and it's funny that his whole reason is it's not for all the other good that's doing. Economy, jobs, that's already being improved. Right. I just don't want to get off my fat ass and go back to work.
Yes. I got my life planned.
If that's how we get to Hillary, I'm on for it. Let him vote for him.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Keep his gym membership.
Yeah, I don't care what twisted road we have to walk through. And another thing with Bernie losing today, not to gloat, but he outspent Hillary 2-1.
Okay.
So... She didn't have to empty the war chest. Yeah, the coffers.
All right, kids, we're coming right back. Drinking Words coming up on the other side of the break. Stay with us. We'll be right back.
You've been listening to The Show on Q Talk America. This is Q Talk America.
The following broadcast contains adult humor, language, and topics, along with partial nudity. Actual knowledge is used sparingly. The show is a result of a lost bet and a bad game of rock, paper, scissors. It's The Show with Clayton McKee. And now, a man with a face for radio, Clayton McKee.
Good evening again, everybody. Just after 8 o'clock here in Phoenix, Arizona. This is the beginning of hour 2. And we have some... If you were listening at hour 1, and I can't imagine how you have anything better to do, Marnie was telling us a story, or sharing a story with us about a gentleman who's conflicted about his over 30-year allegiance, charter member allegiance to the Republican Party in his hometown, and he he's going to vote for Hillary, he thinks, because he doesn't want Obamacare to be repealed because he'll have to go back to work to afford his insurance.
But he gets a free gym membership.
But he got a gym membership that he doesn't use yet. He's going to use
it. That's called well care, and he's
right.
not well.
So I wanted, if you can, play some of that. Let's hear what this brilliant person sounds like.
This is why I was talking the way that I was talking.
Right. And so Marnie's going to play it through her laptop and see if we can get it.
I'm kind of having a difficult decision. I don't know which party to vote for in the upcoming 2016 presidential election. I don't know whether to go with a Republican or a Democrat. And I'm serious.
I'm serious. He is the epitome of brains.
I asked myself, I said, which party has helped me out the most in the last, I don't know, 15 years?
I don't know.
And it was our Democrat party, the Democrats.
Uh-huh.
So.
This is titillating.
It's killing me.
If it wasn't for Obama and that Obamacare, I would still be working.
Oh, my God.
For real.
Yeah.
I'm thinking it might be the sugar beeties.
Well, that's part of it right there.
It's just terrifying.
Before we get too much further into this hour, let's get this out of the way right fucking now.
And now, a drink-along. We dare you to stay awake during this royalty-free music and to play a drinking game with us. If you are currently or soon to be driving a car, you cannot play. If you are presently the primary caregiver for children and or the elderly, you may desperately want to play, but no. If you are listening from a rehab facility, you are disqualified because you already hit bottom. And that means you already won this game at least once. If playing this game is in any way illegal for you, put the bottle down and make better life choices. There is no good in your goodbye, and there is no lifeguard on duty, so you will be swimming at your own risk. Tell your lawyer to take the fucking day off. You can't sue us. We warned you. Good luck.
Well, we're going to go organically with your beaver.
Well, I would say leave my beaver out of this, but
hey, you put it in my face, yeah.
But I'll move my beaver away from John Oliver.
So seriously, the drinking word this week is beaver. Got it.
That's just good stuff.
So I think I already know the name of the show.
Yeah. Marnie's Beaver.
No. Hey, nice beaver.
Hey. Hey, nice beaver.
From the, what were those movies that Leslie?
Beaver? Oh, Naked Gun, Naked 33 Gun. And a third.
Oh, my God. Nice. Yes.
And she's like, thanks. Just had it stuffed.
Yeah.
And she hands him a stuffed beaver. Too funny.
It's good stuff.
It really was when they did little musical montage, like, and they're like all over the place in 17 different outfits, and all of a sudden it's
brilliant.
Phew, what a day! And they're like on the ferry at a baseball game.
That was, I haven't seen that in forever. I don't remember the ferry,
but I mean, it's just that whole, there's that whole over music here. Montage.
But I remember the beaver.
But you remember the whole music montage where they're just doing everything all over the city,
yeah,
and then it ends, and she goes, phew, what a day. And it was clearly like different seasons. Like the montage took place over what
that
was
lasted all day.
Yeah. Beaver with Marnie's shirt saying relax.
Relax your beaver.
I think that's fair. You want your beaver relaxed. I think you don't
do.
Want to stress.
A tense beaver really does no one any favors.
Really what you want is namaste beaver.
Namaste.
Oh.
Namaste beaver.
I'm afraid that might smell like curry.
Namaste.
Sorry,
namaste beaver.
Namaste beaver. That's funny. The namaste beaver. That's just funny to me.
What do you think about Oliver?
Oh my God. She's having imaginary conversation
it's
with her
okay.
beaver. The day we knew would arrive is here.
Just chatting with my beaver. It's all good.
It's amazing how many times I can just throw out Nevada lines and they just go unremarked.
Yeah, nothing. Not from us. Clayton and I are.
I'm going to need a strainer.
No, you're not. It'll be fine.
I adopted
good for you.
A capture and not release program for the gnats.
It's a catch and release program?
No, it's a capture and don't release them.
I'm concerned that maybe someone got in here.
It's better if you can't see
them. Hi, Harrison.
This next
Hi, Harrison.
This next story, I discovered this at lunch today with Al. No connection to the story and Al. But I thought we in this time of elections and leaders that are out there trying to be the moral guide to people and, you know, try to inflict all of their values on everybody, similar to that asshole. I thought we'd go down a little list of leaders who were caught being anti-gay. Oh. On, or they were anti-gay on everything, but then got caught being gay.
Oh.
Yeah.
I like to call that weird.
Or Republican. Caught with their beaver down. Republican, yeah.
So our first
with their beaver out.
And I think this will be fun because I think Al will come up with stories that he remembers about these two. So the first...
Or how I had sex with all three of them.
If the beaver has a beard, you won't need a trainer. That a girl. I like it, Amina. Wow. I like it.
Hi, Harrison.
Does that make it a flavor saver?
So we'll start with this one. George, I believe it's George Reckers. This anti-gay activist and co-founder of the Family Research Council shocked the world in 2010 when he was caught returning from a European vacation with a male escort he found on rentboy.com.
Oh.
He initially claimed he hired the man to carry his luggage because he just had surgery, wasn't able to lift anything. Rickers also tried to explain himself with a Facebook post saying, quote, I deliberately spend time with sinners and the loving goal, with the loving goal to try to help them. Oh. So that is that first fucktard.
I mean, I can't say no to letting that boy carry my luggage.
Oh, no.
But clearly you're running around saying slap my beaver. This guy's not.
Right.
He doesn't look like a beaver slapper to me.
Yeah,
that's what he's trying to portray.
I think the beaver becomes a euphemism in your story.
I thought it was a euphemism for the whole.
But the tail.
I'm just hoping it's a euphemism. Please, God, let it be a euphemism.
The next one on our long list of these people is a gentleman named Troy King. Rumors of Alabama Attorney General Troy King engaging in an affair with a younger male assistant, a former Troy University homecoming king, by the way. Those rumors circled on the internet back in 2008. King, who promoted bans on homosexuality and sex toys, was reportedly found in a homosexual situation with sex toys. Found by the bed with this young man as well. When seeking a second term as Attorney General back in 2010, he lost the Republican primary to a gentleman named Luther Strange. King, who did not publicly address the rumors, now practices law in Montgomery,
Alabama. I thought you were going to say now practices sodomy on a professional level.
No.
He's given up his Olympic status in the sodomy.
He's giving TED Talks on it.
Yeah,
now.
He's giving TED
Talks. TED Talks. That's funny, Marty. That's funny. Next in our line of people is this gentleman. I believe his name is Richard Curtis. Conservative Washington State Representative Richard Curtis, who had voted against a domestic partnership bill and a bill that would have outlawed discrimination based on sexual orientation, was accused of soliciting sex from another man back in 2007. The man he solicited is shown there on the right. After the news broke, Curtis resigned from his seat and was quoted as saying, quote, this has been damaging to my family and I don't want to subject them to any additional pain that might result from carrying out this matter under the scrutiny that comes with holding a public office. He claimed he wasn't gay and accused the man, a paid escort, of extortion, but later told prosecutors he wanted the charges dropped.
Okay, two things. First, the one on the left looks like a beaver. Look at those teeth coming at you.
Could be.
From underneath the beard.
Could be.
Sound effects make it even worse. The euphemism goes strangely awry. Mm. And
oh,
I think
that's my nickname.
Yeah.
I'm awry.
Strangely awry. The one on the right. Yeah. Uh-huh. The one on the right needs puka shells.
Oh.
Just to
okay.
complete the total
sure,
douchebag
sure.
package.
Could be.
I feel like.
Cody Castagna claims had sex with lawmaker for money.
Oh. I just see him
sporting. As long as he got paid, because the douchebag on the left, no.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, that's going to take cold, hard cash.
A lot of cash.
We're going to need that Cayman Islands account. Yeah.
I want my $2.
I want my $50.
Our next...
This beaver's not leaving the house without 50 bucks. I'm just telling you.
Our next official who got busted for being...
U.S. grant or broke.
Being break. Gay or bi is this one. Glenn Murphy Jr., this anti-gay advocate and former president of the Young Republican National Federation...
That's Chaz Bono. You can't fool me.
With this guy was sentenced to 6 years in prison after he was found guilty of sexual assault for performing oral sex on an unwilling male. First of all...
Two things.
First of all,
wait, time out.
Have you ever found a male unwilling to let somebody suck them off? No, I don't think that's possible. I don't think it happens. I mean, ask the Catholic Church.
Yeah.
So he was Anyway, he was prison after performing oral sex on an unwilling male after 2007.
After 2000 attempts.
Right.
He finally gave it.
After a 2007 private party for Republican supporters in Indiana. Another man had accused Murphy of sexual assault in 98, but no charges were filed. Murphy is now a registered sex offender. Congratulations, Mr. Murphy.
Well done. Well
500
done.
Feet away, sir or ma'am.
Mr. Murphy, yes.
Jess Bono, poor thing.
You look that alike, was kind of the alike, Native American version of like that.
Yeah,
of
it was.
Yeah. They that was Chaz Tatanka.
Chaz Tatanka?
No, she got there fast. Tatanka.
Tatanka. This one, I think we're getting more into people that you, that Al's going to be able to comment on. How about the name David Dreyer?
Look at shaking hands with what's that evil fuck's name?
Asshole.
So long-serving California Republican Congressman David Dreyer supported the Defense of Marriage Act and voted against the federal hate crimes bill named for Matthew Shepard, as well as the proposed Employment Non-Discrimination Act. Well, wouldn't you know that Dreyer shared homes with his former chief of staff, Brad Smith, who was identified by acquaintances as Dreyer's partner. Blog active's Mike Roger broke the story back in 2004. Dreyer neither confirmed nor denied being gay, and he kept his seat for about another 10 years, actually. He now works for...
Is the partner in it?
I don't know. He now works for a think tank and has been urged by some to run for U.S. Senate. Because that's what we need. That's out and he's figured it out, then maybe we got something there. Yeah. Next picture, we're moving on. I just want you to know who these idiots are.
Why can't I think of the turds? Carl Rove, thank you.
Meow Cal, put it in there. I didn't want to say it out loud.
Oh, Carl Rove, got it. Okay.
Say it three times, he's going to show up behind me.
I have to get my beaver.
Bruce Barclay, an anti-gay county commissioner in Cumberland County, Pennsylvania.
Oh, yeah. Barclay
resigned from his position in 2008 after being caught hiring male prostitutes and using hidden cameras to videotape at least 100 of these different sexual encounters.
120
in his own home, saying that he spent up to $1,500 for each... What the hell's that word? For each...
Assignation.
I don't think I've ever seen that word.
It's a really nice way to say fuck.
Okay, good. For each hookup,
Barclay. We're gonna have a romantic assignation.
Barclay admitted that he demonstrated a lapse in judgment. In 2010, he was sentenced to probation, monitoring, and community service. Now,
I think he served the community enough times,
right?
And filmed it.
Well, clearly. Let's move on to.
He's got a smooth beaver, though. I think.
Chris Hansen is going to Chris Hansen.
The Hansen brothers?
No, Chris Hansen. Who's from that? Like Dateline or whatever. Remember?
To Catch a Predator.
Yeah. We pointed him.
Was it murder?
Here's the shame. Go back and watch that. Because Al and I right at the same time were like
what?
Because we always threatened he was coming to your house for dating. Dating the youth of America.
There's no reason to show up at this house. Nothing happens in this house.
The baby beavers of America.
The BBA.
Baby boomer.
The BBA.
All baby beavers, sure. Wait. The BBA.
This is going to be funny in about a minute.
Well,
I'm
going to continue on. Roy Ashburn is a California state senator. He came out in 2010 after reports surfaced of him being arrested for drunk driving after partying at a gay nightclub in Sacramento, California. In an interview with Bakersfield radio station KERN, Ashburn said, quote, "I am gay.
These are not my real teeth.
Those are the words that have been so difficult for me to say for so long, but I am gay, but it is something that is personal, and I felt with my heart that being gay wouldn't affect how I did my job." Ashburn blamed his constituents' wishes for his anti... What?
Just the way you pause that. He blamed his constituents for making him gay.
Awesome. Ashburn blamed his constituents' wishes for his anti-LGBT voting record.
Oh, so Hitler made me do it.
Right. Kind of, right. Kind of
has Wonder Woman's upper lip.
Oh, no.
and a mean-spirited beaver's teeth. That thing, seriously, you can bite an apple through a picket fence for the love of God. Just to help you out, just a little update for what was his name? What's the Hansen brother's name that was always coming here knocking on the door?
Chris Hansen.
Chris Hansen. So in your case, you'd be looking for El Castor, which is the beaver.
El
Castor.
And the way she's using it, El Coño.
Oh.
That means pussy.
Oh.
From the colloquial beaver.
You leave my El Coño out of this.
Hey, I fit colloquial into a sentence.
That was nice. I like that.
I gotta go refill my beeper.
Let's step up our game. Oh, I'm getting to one that you really know. Senator Larry Craig of Idaho.
There you go.
I got a wide stance. Give me a second.
He was arrested in 2007 on charges of lewd behavior in an airport bathroom for allegedly making advances to an undercover police officer. Now, in prior years, Craig's anti-gay voting record had earned him praise from conservative groups such as the American Family Association and the Family Research Council. He pleaded guilty and paid a fine that attempted unsuccessfully to withdraw the plea, all the time saying that he was not gay and had merely touched the officer accidentally because of his wide stance. That's what he said he had. This was not the only time Craig was alleged to have had
And he likes to pick up toilet paper off of men's room airport bathrooms. Yeah. I would rather admit to blowing a guy and licking his ass than touching toilet paper in a public restroom on the floor. Think it through.
Okay.
The beaver is washed in the story.
Pancetta.
That was really personal. God, I hope my family's not listening at 18. So, gross. It's too far.
Too much.
This was not the only time that Craig was alleged to have had or sought sexual relations with men, as several told the Idaho Statesman of encounters with him. In 2014, he was ordered to pay the U.S. Treasury $242,000 for improperly using campaign funds to pay the legal expenses he racked up in his attempts to withdraw his guilty plea.
That was in the Minneapolis airport. I just want
to... Oh, yeah, you're right, it was.
We like that
time. You might remember this guy. Another one. We've got just a couple more to go. Well, we've got several more to go, actually.
I love it.
Ed Schrock. In 2004, Republican Virginia Congressman Edward Schrock suddenly withdrew from his race for a third term after allegations arose that Schrock was secretly gay. Gay activist Mike Rogers' website claimed Schrock had been recorded several years earlier using a telephone service on which men would place ads to arrange liaisons with other men. Schrock, who never confirmed the rumors, had been opposed to letting gay people serve in the military, saying enlistees should be queried on whether they've had if they've had homosexual experiences because, quote, you're in the showers with them, you're in the bunk with them, you're in the staterooms with them. Yeah?
And
that's your reasoning,
yeah,
buddy?
Yeah, how horny are you?
Well, he likes to be in bunks and in staterooms. Florida. Dear Florida, you never give up the good stories.
Florida never gives up.
This prize winner, who looks similar to the guy that Marnie was showing us earlier.
Oh, he does.
Bob Allen, at the time, was the Florida State Representative and co-chair of Senator John McCain's presidential committee.
Health food aficionado.
He was arrested in 2007 when he agreed to pay an undercover police officer $20 to allow him to perform oral sex on him.
$20.
Allen claims that he thought the muscular officer was trying to rob him, and he offered sex out of fear. Allen, who was convicted and resigned his office, was known as having one of the most homophobic politicians, or being one of the most homophobic politicians in Florida, having sponsored a failed bill that would have increased the penalties for committing unnatural and lascivious acts. They usually cost you about $20. I don't know if that's coincidental or not.
It could be.
Another fucktard, Philip Hinkle, Indiana State Representative Philip Hinkle, who voted for an anti-marriage equality amendment to Indiana's constitution, was caught in a sex scandal in 2011 when he answered an ad on Craigslist from an 18-year-old named Cameron Gibson, who was looking for a, quote, sugar, S-U-G-G-A, a sugar daddy.
Sugar.
Once the two men met at a local hotel, the young man had a change of heart and decided against the arrangement. Once Gibson's sister arrived to pick him up, Hinkle offered his iPad, cell phone, and $100 for the two to keep quiet. After leaving, the phone started ringing, and Gibson's sister told Hinkle's wife that her husband was gay, to which he responded, please don't call the police. Hinkle denied being gay and refused to resign his office, but he did not seek re-election the following year.
How weird.
Yeah, just a little scandal. Shut up. I don't know what happened.
Just some scandal.
These people, they're priceless is what
coming
they are.
Coming out of the fucking beaver woodwork.
Roberto Arango, in 2014, nearly 4 years after he was caught sending nude photos to men on Grindr, which is an online app for those of you that don't know, former Puerto Rican Senator Roberto Arango came out as gay. In an interview on radio station Uno, a reporter asked Arango, isn't it time for you to state whether or not you are homosexual? Arango, who resigned his office amid the scandal in 2011, responded in the affirmative. In previous years, Arango had mocked a San Juan mayoral candidate by implying that candidate was gay.
There's a
don't throw stones, people.
Oh, I know. And Anand has put a link in the chat room to a documentary from a couple years ago now called Outrage, and it's about all of these people. And it, there's one or two. I feel like one of the parts that got some criticism from that documentary. Yes. It's really good, the documentary, and Marnie's excited about it.
No, I'm excited because I put another link in. Oh. The two times I put links in the chat room, they work now.
That's good.
Okay. And I think I have too much open. I don't think I can open up any more Windows things. Like, I think I'm full up.
Is that a beaver reference?
Yeah, exactly. Sure. I think my beaver's got all it can take right now.
Harrison had asked about the anniversary piece, and I think that she was referring to us, so I put the link in there of the YouTube first show.
Oh, gotcha, yeah. gotcha.
So, anyway, there is that. For those that
want to
see that.
But that movie is really good if you get a chance, and it's on Netflix screening. It's called Outrage.
Outrage. Randy Boning, North Dakota State Rep. Randy Boning, who in April had voted against a bill that would offer housing, workplace, and other protections for LGBT North Dakotans, recently came out as bisexual after it was revealed that he had sent explicit pictures to a 21-year-old man, again, on Grindr. Boning said he voted against the bill because he didn't believe his constituents supported the protections. Quote, "This has been a challenge for me," he told the forum, a Fargo newspaper. "You don't tell everyone you're going to vote one way and then switch your vote another way. You don't have any credibility that way." Oh, I'm sure.
Oh, sure.
You're full of shit.
Now, this one, Michigan pastor Matthew McKayla recently made headlines after he was caught sending sexual messages again on Grindr. One missive, I love to make out naked, oral and massage, and I top, according to what he says. McKayla was no friend of the LGBT people, often railing against homosexuality and saying transgender people are, quote, aiding opportunistic sickos in preying upon children and others. Ooh. Oh, he's a lovely, lovely man.
Amina, I love it. Boning and Dryer, sponsored by Gun Oil.
Yeah.
That's funny.
That is.
We just got two more to do, and we'll be done with this section. I remember seeing this. Ted Haggard. Anti-gay evangelical pastor Ted Haggard had a bad year back in 2006 when prostitute Mike Jones claimed the pastor paid him for sex and did meth in his presence. Months later, Haggard was forced to admit that he had had sexual relationship with a 20-year-old male volunteer at his church. Haggard was subsequently fired from the Colorado church he had founded back in 1984, and since then has come to support marriage equality. So I guess he figured it out.
And if I'm not mistaken, doesn't Ted Haggard have another church going?
I think that is correct.
Oh, no. He lives here in Arizona. I think he lives in Mesa or Chandler. Has a house here, and
I'm gonna say Mesa sounds more.
Yeah. Oh, there's a really good documentary about him, about the Haggard professional crier.
Well, we saved the best for last because this
it's not the wide stance guy.
No, that we already did that.
That was pretty good.
No, that's what I'm saying.
Oh, no. This one comes with an extra special picture. Does the name Steve Wiles ring a bell with anybody here? Steve Wiles. Maybe his picture will. Republican North Carolina State Senate candidate Steve Wiles caused quite a media buzz last year when his past life as a drag queen, he was both a promoter for the Miss Gay America pageant as well as the man behind Miss Mona Sinclair, which is featured there on the right. This was brought into light in the Winston-Salem Journal. In his campaign, Wiles took a hard stance, oddly. He took a hard stance against marriage equality and stated, quote, "I don't really understand how you can separate the fact that marriage is a religious institution." He went down to a defeat in the primary later that year.
Pause.
But I love the fact that all these people want to fight against shit.
Yes.
Digital doesn't die.
Yeah.
I don't care. Right. That's why
it's out there.
Every picture, everything you do, it doesn't die.
No.
So I don't care what you think you're sending in a secured whatever. Somebody's going to save it, do it, and it's going to pop up and bite you in the ass.
Mm-hmm.
That's why none of us can ever run for public office for this show. Just for the show. Not for anything else.
Yeah. There were some things beforehand that might have
played a part.
Put a blemish.
Well, true.
Put a blemish on the beaver.
A blemish beaver. Blemished beaver. Hey, wait, while you're going to the kitchen, would you make sure Michael's awake?
Yeah.
Got it. Thank you. I want everybody to know that. And my roommate needed to make sure he was awake by 8 o'clock, and I have failed by 27 minutes, 20 seconds.
Well, hopefully he had an alarm.
He said he did. Ms. Ryer, you are up. You are on deck.
Well, ladies and gentlemen.
Of the jury.
boys and girls.
Yes.
children of all ages.
Oh.
Sarah Palin, still a cunt.
Yes.
Logic and Reason are proud to bring you some, the demise of the former half-term governor and Tea Party flunky at the hands of one of the most beloved figures in science education. In the red corner, weighing in with an IQ of about 78, a failed career in politics, another in journalism, and just about the dumbest person ever to grace the national political stage, Sarah Palin.
Sarah.
And in the blue corner, weighing in at interesting, educated, and respected with two knockouts against, I'm going to get this all wrong, but Cuckoo Ken Ham and the Pure Fiction of Creation, Bill Nye the Science Guy.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
I don't know if you guys have heard about this, but...
We did this story last week, didn't we?
No, I didn't.
No. Mm-mm.
I swear we did this. Continue on.
Okay.
Or I just read it to myself. And
might have. Because I had it last week, but I never did it.
Because, well, didn't I did the story about the fact that they were going to both be featured in a...
Did you do it 2 weeks ago when I wasn't here?
I've never heard this.
About the documentary that they're both... Eventually they were going to debate, and then that didn't come out, and then they're going to be asked questions on a global warming.
Correct.
Go ahead and do it again, because
okay,
because they may have. No. Go right ahead. I thought it was last week.
Yeah. No. That's right, folks. two giants. Well, one giant and adult are going to join a panel to discuss the new crapumentary being produced by science deniers on behalf of billionaires, energy companies, and their stockholders to argue the case for and against climate change. The complete load of garbage is titled Climate Hustle and is sure to be a hit with the same people who think the glorified killing in American Sniper was all the rage. After the initial screening of the film, which will be seen in hundreds of theaters by thousands of idiots, the panel will convene to debate the issue of climate change, not to discuss what can be done about it, but to discuss if it is as real as 95% of scientists worldwide say it is. Bill Nye will, of course, be championing the cause of fighting climate change as a real enemy of not just Americans, but the entire planet, while Palin will be joining a bunch of people on the payroll at Koch Industries, ExxonMobil, and BP. Palin is expected to come up with several word jumbles and at least one incoherent, drunken rant. She's also expected to come equipped with the ability to invent statistics on the spot and wink at the crowd with a hearty, you betcha, when she's backed into a
drill,
corner.
Drill, baby, drill.
Oh, for God's sake. Soccer moms and all. Bill Nye will have a lifetime of knowledge and the support of the scientific community, along with anyone with a moderate sense of reality and the ability to Google. The event will take place on May 2nd, and you can bet your proud clinger bitter slingers that winning Democrats will be right there to cover it, which is where I'm getting this from, winningdemocrats.com. An update is that Variety have updated their reports to note that the panel will feature clips of Bill Nye. Unfortunately, he won't be appearing in person because why would he waste his time?
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, for real.
You're bitter.
So
cringers.
Anyway, if you had done that, Clayton, it would have been 2 weeks ago.
Then maybe it was.
Yeah.
Maybe
it was. I do not remember
but
that.
That is one of the funniest things that I had seen. You got to be kidding me. Gotta be kidding me. What a fucking moron.
She's going to come up with mini word jumbles.
And incoherent
I enjoyed that.
Rambles.
That is one beaver that needs to go back in her hole because it's over.
No. Yeah. She just needs
or
to keep chewing on the wood.
I just, yeah.
Keep chewing on the wood.
Todd's wood.
Just keep chewing on Todd's wood and shut the fuck up.
Oh, my
she needs, God. That beaver needs something in its mouth.
I do want her to pee in the cup and find out her alcohol level. Because she is trashed.
Or chemical imbalance. One of the two.
Yeah, that's true. It could be pills.
Can we work up a panel of blood work on her?
It could be pills.
Yeah. Oh. We have a heavy medicated beaver over here, ladies and gentlemen.
Who's now going to speak to you?
Stupid beaver.
In rhyme.
Stupid in some beaver. Sort of right, a... Right. She's throwing bars. She's rapping. That's what she's doing.
Bitter, clinging.
I know that you guys... Love. This is a happy story. I when I found out about this, I was happy but sad all at the same time. And you'll understand why in just a minute. We all know of Sam Suey, the YouTube star, singer.
Yeah,
he produces a lot of music and writes a lot of stuff. Cute guy. The singer's music videos and covers have gained him a host of loyal followers since joining the video sharing website of YouTube back in 2008, but he has not spoken about his sexuality until now. I believe it's Advocate magazine that he talked to. He said, "For those of you who are curious, the answer is yes, I am dating someone. I have not really talked about this kind of stuff, given that this is a coming out video of sorts." He posted a video on online. "I want to say very clearly that waiting to tell you guys about this does not mean that I am ashamed of anything." The YouTube star revealed that the man he's dating is fellow musician Casey Brevs, who has collaborated with Sam in previous videos. He continued, "I'm incredibly proud of who I am, and I'm very proud of my relationship with Casey because he is amazing." Also, while confirming their relationship, Sam also revealed that the two singers are planning to get married very, very soon. Now, if you don't know who we're talking about, Sam Suey is pictured here. He's the one in solo on the left-hand side of your screen, and there he is with his, I guess I would say, fiance, potentially, in the other picture.
Such a cutie.
What? Seriously. I was happy for him, and it was all good, and I figured I knew this already, but now I realize that I've missed another chance.
Yeah, another window closes.
Damn it.
Another beaver runs the other direction.
I love Sam Suey. He's a great singer. He can play almost any instrument. He's a great production person. Him and his collaborator, Kurt Schneider,
okay.
Is another cute kid, but they have produced and done some amazing videos. If you don't know who I'm talking about, look him up. It's Sam Suey, and that's spelled T-S-U-I is his last name, all over YouTube. The first thing that really broke him out many years ago, what was her name that had the show? Bonnie Hunt. Mm-hmm. He was discovered on YouTube. He did a video in his college where he went in and he did a Michael Jackson medley, and they shot the video, and he sings all of the parts.
Yeah, like seven
on
or
stage,
eight different parts.
Right, simultaneously at the video editing. And it was, so he got fame initially because him and his friend Kurt Schneider produced this video. And he, amazing that he sings all the different parts and all the different things.
Yeah, and it really is a lot of fun.
It was a fun video to watch. Anyway, so he's out, and again, it's another missed opportunity for me, and I feel like I'm losing them right and left. What's happening.
And poor Bonnie Hunt, discovered by David Letterman, but he was her main supporter, patron, if you will.
Oh, a patron.
And all her shows were done by Worldwide Pants, and she just could not catch a break. She's a very funny comedian and improvisational actress, and her own show, her own sitcom, was called The Bonnie Hunt Show. So funny, all of it improv'd, and it would just go off the rails, but they just never found an audience for it, and it was a shame.
I liked her. She was funny.
Yeah, very funny, but they tried in every different way to make that woman famous. Oh. David Letterman gave her 9,000 different tries, and it's a shame that she's just lingering somewhere.
I have no idea what she's doing now. Mm-mm. But Sam Suey is going to get married, so we figured out, we know what he's doing.
Well done, Sam.
Yeah.
Well done, Sam. Aaron had put a story a while back in the show and other stuff on Facebook. Mm-hmm. About the Christian author. Did you guys do that story?
I don't recall we did.
No.
That Christian, quote unquote, like, parenthetically, author rants that women who masturbate are going straight to hell.
Oh, I did see this story. I did not read it. But timely. That this is the show of the beaver.
Exactly. Yes. Let me mention about
beaver.
Women's beaver. Christian fundamentalists just can't keep their mouth shut. And they wonder why people are turning away from organized religion. A supposed Christian author took to Facebook to condemn women who use sex toys and masturbate and tell them that they are going to hell, claiming that both are a direct path to Satan. That's a direct path to Satan.
Direct path to Satan.
And declared that any Christian who disagrees should be ashamed. Too many Christian women are losing their salvation because they masturbate.
Tapping the beaver.
His name is, yeah.
They're prairie dogging.
Rowing the boat.
Prairie dogging the beaver.
Wait, is it called the canoe?
Yeah, the little man in the canoe.
Sorry, I got confused.
Just paddling him home. She was almost home, Mrs. Garrett.
I'm enjoying the fact that this dumbass's name is Mac Major. You can't make that up. Come on.
It sounds like a super. What's your name? I'm Mac Major.
I'm coming to help the women. Yeah. I'm keeping them from hell.
Saving them from masturbating. That's I'm going to sleep with them. That makes sense.
Dildos and all of those other sex toys have been used for thousands of years.
My favorite thing. I thought when you said dildos and ropes and then chains and da-da, I thought that's where you were going to go with that.
And nandada.
I don't know. I couldn't think of other toy names.
I was going to shove this nandada up inside me, but I couldn't identify it.
Hey, I couldn't leave your nandada away from my beaver.
You have to do it slowly.
That's fair.
You have to do it slowly.
You can't draw a picture of it with a crayon. I don't want it near me.
I don't want it near my beaver.
Petting the kitty.
Oh. What if you move that goddamn cat?
Meow. Dildos and all of those other sex toys have been used for thousands of years in demonic sex rituals. Or Saturday. It's one of...
It goes by so many names.
Saturday night, demonic sex rituals.
Whatever. Yeah.
Well...
It's lesbian nun, tomato, tomato. Well, it's all the same fucking thing.
Have it. It's one of the main ways ancient pagan societies worshipped their demonic gods.
Take this, you demonic god.
Jesus.
I'm almost there, Satan. I'm almost there.
Masturbation is a direct path to Satan.
Whisper some dirty in my ear, Satan. I can't finish.
I can't hear you. I can't hear you, Satan.
I got a bus to catch. Hurry this up.
I got a bus to catch.
That's what I said to my last trick. Hurry up. I got a bus to catch.
Are you through yet?
Put the 20 on the beaver.
Yeah. Pin the 20 on the beaver.
Well, oh my God. According to Mac Major, there's nothing normal about masturbation, and shame on any Christian who says so. Hypocritically enough, Major seems to only take issue with women achieving sexual pleasure by themselves, hence masturbation, while avoiding the topic of male masturbation.
That's the whole point of female genital mutilation is because they shouldn't enjoy sex.
Absolutely.
They don't want them to do it for any other reason than to procreate or give the man pleasure.
Mm-hmm.
Now, if they would put their thinking caps on and figure this all out.
Is that a rubber?
No. Once on Oprah years ago, I heard it called a Jimmy hat, and it always stuck in my head. No, that Oprah was having some discussion, and some guy in the audience referred to a condom as a Jimmy hat.
A Jimmy hat.
Yeah. You're Johnson.
Yeah.
You're Jimmy.
Anyway, if they would think about this, the women are actually helping the whole anti-abortion cause. Because the more that they do it themselves, self-inflicted orgasm, if you will.
If you will.
It's
all right.
It's one less chance that we have of having to have an abortion because, you know, they were doing the $20 pay to play, whatever. Yeah, and get, you know, somebody, if you get Johnny up in there, the risk. It's just
Johnny hat check.
She's saving lives what she's doing.
She really is.
I appreciate your thinking.
That's what I think of every time I do it. I'm saving lives. I mean, Sam Stewie's not going to stop by anytime soon, so I figured.
Well, this Mac Major goes on to warn.
Mac Major.
Warn on his blog that women are inviting demons into the world by masturbating. Many of you who are reading this have sex toys in your possession right now.
Beavers, alert!
Beaver. I'm holding my beaver. And whether you want to accept it, and whether you want to accept it as a fact or not, those sex toys are open portal. That's my new favorite. Yeah. I think. It's an open portal between the demonic realm and your own life. As long as you have those sex toys in your home, you have a doorway that can allow demons to not only access your life at will.
Well, how big is your beaver? But you've got a doorway.
That's a huge beaver.
My God, that's a teleport.
Girl, you got a big beaver.
Girl.
Girl, get out that beaver.
Baby got beaver. You guys give me some sort of.
I like big beavers.
No. And here's why. Let me just put an end to this visual here. Because we did classes today in the Women and Infant Services department.
I don't think.
And they have all the dummies and like all the mannequins and like there's babies. But then the woman that they have to like birth. seriously, her vagina is like the gateway to San Francisco. And as you're standing there, and like the one mannequin that's in the ICU room blinks and breathes, and it's really creepy. And so we're all sitting there talking, and we're all trying to figure out like how to work up the tubing and how to make it look realistic. All of a sudden, we all realize that this she's in the lephotomy position, which is like frog-legged, right, with this giant gaping beaver looking at us. And all of us were like, can we just put a towel on that?
Could we cover
give her some decency.
It's 7:45 in the morning.
What is it called? Lothario? What is it? Lothotomy position. Lothotomy?
Yeah, that's when you...
Harrison, glove up, ladies.
Get him a lothotomy position.
He can't do it.
I'm enjoying that, but I know what to call it.
The chair is stopping me.
Oh, sure.
Sure.
Okay.
That's the end. It's the chair that's stopping
you. Get in the lothotomy position, bitch. That's what.
But it was just the fact that all of us are sitting there and we're like fighting with this tubing. We're trying to make it look like it really does, but we're having to like rig the whole thing. All of a sudden, we realize we're all like just into a gaping wound.
The garage is open.
The garage door was open. The mud flaps were open.
Did they have the ladies on them?
Oh, jeez.
And we're like, why is every baby mannequin like look angry or scared? We're like, because it just came out of that. So that means the baby shoving them back in.
Was he awake, by the way? Okay, good. Is there more?
I just want to let you know that this son bitch has trouble.
What is this son bitch? You're killing me with this.
Because that guy. I had to listen to too much of him. That son bitch.
I'm going to find that other
also
thing.
Also has a problem with women getting tattoos and piercings. And he tells them, apparently, it's sans the beaver, just in general.
Sans beaver. Well.
And he tells them how to dress in church. This is the kind of crap women have to put up with from conservative Christians every day, and it's only getting worse as some Christian pastors have gone so far as to call for women to lose voting rights and for women to be confined to the home. Now, I'm not sure if that's John Kasich or not, but I'm not sure yet. Again, yeah. It's bewildering how these same Christians can complain about dropping church attendance and fail to see that they are the ones causing people to walk away from the church in the first place, heading with their beavers out straight to hell.
Wait, and that's still,
I just added that last part because
you know,
it's really
pregnancy is still described as your time of confinement. Like, I think it's your estimated date of your EDC is when you're going to give birth. Like, they still call it that. Like, when I was in nursing school, I'm like, really?
Yeah.
We're not going to you're actually going to pass those initials on to us. You're not going to be like, well, here's a funny story. They used to call it this. Now we call it your pregnant time. Like, come on. We don't need these funny terms.
So now, Katie June is in her time of confinement. In her time of confinement.
And she's literally confined because she can't
she
get.
Sure
yeah,
is.
She's.
That poor little thing.
But not because she's...
God knows she has enough sex toys at that house from what she said.
Okay.
Well, I'm saying that's what she announced.
She did overshare with us that you were correct.
A lot.
Estimated date of confinement. They still call it your EDC.
That's pretty interesting. I've never heard that.
Like, what the fuck? I mean, you know.
Have you ever heard that, Beaver? What about you, Mr. Oliver?
Every time you say some bitch... I think
some
of
bitch.
Every time
some
you say bitch. That, I think of this.
What?
I think. Oh wait, I think of the fucking Smokey and the Bandit movie.
You son of a bitch! You get down, Memphis! You go to where you agree.
Jackie Gleason.
Yep.
Quit calling me Pa, and I don't think anything like stupid as you sprung out of my loins.
You your ass in my lessons.
Some bitch.
I never enjoyed the Honeymooners, but I always enjoyed the Smokey and the Bandits. Because
I enjoyed the Honeymooners.
He was just funny.
Yeah, he was. And yes, I mean, I think you are correct. Shaving a beaver does mean preparing oneself for hell.
Yes, it does. It's like packing a bag. We allow it.
We allow it, yes. We accept.
It's like packing a bag.
That's preparing.
That's your analogy.
Ready.
Yeah. Sure.
Shaving
throw things
the beaver.
In, shaving the yeah, beaver, like, throw some stuff in it, get on the plane.
Where are you going? Well, I'm shaving the beaver.
You're going to be gone long?
So three guesses. One of them's hell.
H-E double hockey stick.
God.
Oh, okay. Well,
oh, and Aunt, everybody masturbates. When you meet someone that says they don't masturbate, you just also met a liar.
Or people that don't know how.
You stumble across it. I mean, they don't offer a course. All of a sudden,
if a good breeze comes up, you figure out that the pants ripple are against your business is gonna. What if I do it myself?
Yeah.
What if there's no breeze?
Yeah.
Oh, that's interesting.
Gotta figure that out.
Well,
excuse me, I'll be in the bathroom with my laptop for
now,
a minute.
Now, the breeze.
I mean, now you can cheat and find out on YouTube. But
breeze would have affected me and most other men in their early teens. Now, a fucking hurricane could show up and I wouldn't even give a fuck. I mean, it's like, right. Is there gonna be beer or drinks right. after this is over? Because I don't really care.
I feel like he just confessed to a whiskey dick to us, but I'm not sure.
I'm not sure what just happened, quite frankly.
Other good news.
Zoloft got you down. Do you find there's less lead in your pencil?
Do you like the color blue?
Have you lately been humiliated in the art of love?
Do you agree with Bob Dole on some things, one thing?
Don't have much wood for the beaver.
Laying the wood to the beaver?
Oh.
In another feel-good story... President Obama made history yet again by making the rate for Americans without health insurance reach another historic low. However, you wouldn't know about it because virtually none of the mainstream media have talked about it on any level. I hadn't heard about it until I read it.
Until it gets said at a Trump rally, you never will.
Right. Gallup Healthways Well-Being Index was updated on April 7th of this year with new data for the first quarter of 2016. The statistics have now been released, and it shows that the uninsured rate for American adults dropped to 11%, which is the lowest ever recorded in the poll's history. And there is a graph showing you from the first quarter of 2008... and now we're down to the first quarter of 2016. So it started at 14.6. We're down to 11%.
And strangely, wow. The unemployment rate has gone down as well. So the job killer thing doesn't hold up. Water.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I got a funny meme from a Republican acquaintance of mine. And he sent it to me with this like shitty ass look on Obama's face. And it listed all these like statistics of like the actual numbers of what the real unemployment rate was and the number of people on food stamps and like split up families. And it gave a, I can just look at it and tell you about it. I don't really need to like try to remember it. So let's go live to the phones there, Bill.
Jeez.
What do you think, Beaver?
So it was, where'd it go? Oh, that's embarrassing. It disappeared.
They retracted it.
I wish I had the
I'm sorry. Maybe it's just on my phone.
The theme from Jeopardy to play while you were looking for something.
You gotta send money to that fucker. Oh. That dead guy gets money. Okay.
What dead guy?
Merv Griffin. He wrote that song.
Oh, sorry.
Seriously? Made $1 billion off of it. So it's called The Obama Real Number, 7 years. Full-time workers down, workforce participation down, home ownership down, medium income down, poverty up, people on food stamps up, and debt to gap ratio greatly increased.
Well, so many people.
Wait. So it says, oh, those pesky facts. Well done, Mr. President. And it says, now I gotta blow this up. Maybe I can read it better this way. It says Department of Workforce, and then it has U.S. Can you see that? USsomethingjobs.com at the bottom of it. So I read it and I was like, okay, maybe, but I'm gonna go to
USjob.gov.
Right. So I went to the first site, which was the Department of Workforce. Doesn't exist. No such place.
Okay.
Oh, no. USjob.gov. No such website.
Doesn't work.
Doesn't exist.
So it's not a real source.
So then I go to the Department of Workforce, and if you pull that up, it takes you right to a study out of Utah, a very conservative state.
Mm-hmm.
And all of the thing, everything on the page is just optimism. They have one of the, and strangely, Utah has one of the lowest unemployment rates in the country. I think they're down to like 4% or something. Like, so it's just a glowing report about the state of Utah's economy. So I replied back to my acquaintance.
Little fact-checking.
What is this USjob.gov? I tried to vet these statistics, and the link isn't real. So then I put it up there to fuck him up. And then I told him, and here's a little page from the Department of Workforce. It's in Utah, and has some pretty optimistic reports on their economy, just saying to vet these. And then he sends back, yeah, I couldn't find any of those either. So he sends me a shitty meme off the fucking website that he doesn't even check himself, trying to be, like, fucking with me. I'm like, come on.
I've been told of late that I'm too, what's the word? I'm too controlling or something. They used some word. I forgot what it was. In regards to every time something pops up and I try to be very steadfast in vetting stories. If sure. I find a fact, or before I post something, I try to vet it. Sometimes late at night, if I'm a little buzzed, I might not vet as well. Right. But
that's when I'm maybe not at my best.
Right? Maybe.
But what I find interesting is people keep reposting shit that is wrong.
Right.
So
right.
I then will follow up and I'll repost it. By the way, here's the link showing you that this is false. Please take it down. Right. And they're like, well, why would I take it down? It's funny. No, it's not. You're just spreading misinformation. It's not funny if it's wrong.
Yeah.
If because, it's a lie.
And I know that.
Because you're
I
not laughing. That right. is the other thing.
But the issue is that there are other people that will read it and just take it.
Yeah,
at right. face value.
They do, and then right. I see multiple people sharing, and then I have to follow because I am friends with multiple people.
And then they'll tell you
people.
Later. Well, you know, I read that you know the unemployment rate is really what does Trump keep saying 48% that he heard. Oh God, you got to find that quote from him where he says the unemployment rate is really more like 20. Actually, I've kind of heard 36, and then and maybe it could be as high as 42. So they had an twitchy. Her beaver twitched. Frightening.
I got a jumping beaver
yeah,
over
she got,
here.
She got bugs
I
in the beaver.
I got a twitchy beaver.
Bugs in the beaver.
I got a natty beaver.
Oh, my God.
Nutty beaver. That's worse by like a million times.
Is there a cream for that? A salve, an ointment.
So he says this stuff, and luckily CNN was like, all right, we got to talk about this bullshit because there's people believing it.
Right.
He's like, what would our actual nation look like if there was like 40%+
oh my God.
Unemployment? They'd be like, there'd be rioting on the streets, right. just people living
well,
in ditches.
If you go back to the Great Depression in the 20s, what was the unemployment rate then? I'd like to know what that
it
number is.
It was in the 20s, I think.
Okay,
it was like,
so we would be back to Depression times.
No, worse. This is he's saying no, 40,
it would be worse.
Exactly, yeah.
Right, no, but we would be like double it.
Yeah, it's Dublin. We're Dublin the
no,
beaver.
Dublin the beaver.
It's Irish.
But that'd be... He's just a fucktard.
But it is just funny. But he just makes it up, and you can hear him in his head. Like, it was kind of like, in the Manchurian Candidate, when they're asking the senator, like, he's got to tell them exactly how many communists are in the Congress at the time. And he's like, I don't know. They're like, well, here. You keep saying you know. And all of a sudden, he looks at a bottle of Heinz ketchup, and he says, 57. There's 57 communists in the party.
Wow.
Oh.
Yeah.
What you got, Marn?
So I'm just looking at the unemployment statistics. Oh. Are you able to see them or no?
Yeah, where does it get percentage of labor for? So it gets as high as like 17. Oh, there's a 21, a 24, a 23, right before the New Deal. Yeah.
But that goes into the highest at 24.75 is 1933.
Right. And then like they built the Empire State Building right in here. So that's what they were talking about, say, on the news. Like in the high... Almost the height of the Depression, in an effort to like get jobs, they built the Chrysler Building and the Empire State Building.
Mm.
Like as
thereby
a monument,
saving tons of people,
yeah, sure. getting
families.
People jobs.
Mm.
Got it.
Unbelievable.
Marna, have we beat that story of yours up enough? Are we good?
But he's including like children. So to get to this number, it turns out he's including like newborn babies.
Right, everybody.
Right, yeah, but that's scary that 40% of unemployment is kind of below Kenya's. Like,
oh my gosh.
Mm. Yeah,
tie a boulder around his neck and push him over the Golden Gate Bridge.
Oh, it's a waste of the Golden Gate Bridge and a perfectly good boulder.
A good boulder, you know, right. Exactly right.
Can I have the chain back?
Also, we don't need to pollute the waters anymore.
Yes, no.
You know?
He'd fart his way to the surface. Mm-hmm. I mean, you're funny.
And our final story in the headlines before we do our crossover and into Al's entertainment section, which I'm sure you've got a lot to do because a lot of things are going on. Twitter, which isn't known as a platform for slow burn comedy, but one man named Marcus LePage has broken the mold by leaving his account dormant for almost 7 years just to make one amazingly funny joke. So he started in April of 2009. He posts this. He posts that he's one tweet. April 2009, I'm going to go to sleep. He posts this on Twitter. So seven years goes by, and he posts, fuck, I slept in. 7 years later.
Damn, did I not get back to you?
Oh, when I read, I thought that was pretty funny. Maybe he forgot that he had a Twitter page. I don't know. But that was just funny shit to me that he did it. Slow burn comedy. Oh, heaven's sakes. Well, my God, this has been a beaverific show. Yeah. We've got another hour coming at you.
Just been biting the beaver.
Matt, I may go make another thing of coffee. I'm not sure. Al's going to come back in just a moment. We've got entertainment coming up. And then if we both talk about other shit we want to talk about, because we can. It's our show. It's our 43rd anniversary. And we're doing it tonight. One girl down. Kat Carlson is out doing other stuff, but Marnie, Al, and I are here to get you through it. So stick with us. Thanks, everybody in the chat room. We'll be right back right after this on Q-Talk America.
You've been listening to The Show on Q-Talk America. This is Q-Talk America.
The following broadcast contains adult humor, language, and topics, along with partial nudity. Actual knowledge is used sparingly. The show is a result of a lost bet and a bad game of rock, paper, scissors. It's The Show with Clayton McKee. And now, a man with a face for radio, Clayton McKee.
God damn it.
Hi, everybody. Welcome back. It is the beginning of hour three, or again, as I've said before, some people call it the last hour of the hostage crisis. Everybody in the chat room is very chatty tonight. Thanks, everybody. Nan, Amina, Mama Di was in there earlier, Joe D. So many people were in there just having their own little conversations, and we're glad you listened along to us. Thank you so much. Do what?
Anand, is a thoughtful vulgarity question.
Oh, well, you can pose it to us here in a second. Right now, I'm going to get ready to go make a cup of coffee, but before we do that, my God, it is time for Al Perkins' very own segment we like to call Entertainment.
Entertainment! As soon as I get down there. New Girl's been renewed. We have updates on Serial, which I think Amina and I are listening to. Orphan Black is back. I have the answer to the Republicans' question of how they're going to win the White House. Veep starts. The girls of Broad City have a new show on. Doris Roberts is dead. And a hot black guy is getting a new job. And entertainment.
Oh, I like how you segued that last one. I enjoyed that. I'm going to go get a cup of coffee. I'll be back.
I read what I wrote down. I'm like, what the fuck does that mean?
Hot black guy gets a job.
A 10-incher. Yeah,
10-incher. What? Don't put that near my beaver.
So let's start with this one. So Michael Strahan joins Good Morning America and is leaving live. He's going to Good Morning America full time.
I just love Michael Strahan.
Oh, I do too. And yeah. And I think he's really fucking hot. Because I saw Magic Mike 2, this time it's personal. Mm-hmm. Which,
because of that.
Yeah, flood. This time we're flooding the basement. Right. The beaver nearly drowned.
The beaver's drowning. Yes.
It's a faint smell of wet beaver in the air.
Yeah. Michael Strahan.
And he came on and danced, and he was just so fucking hot.
You couldn't quit talking about that, quite frankly. Yeah. That was a lot. Yeah, I still haven't seen it.
Excuse me while I take my laptop into the bathroom.
Correct.
Lock the door. The Hall of Famer has been doing... He was from the New York Giants. Mm-hmm. Hall of Famer had been doing guest spots on GMA for the past couple years, but the move will pave the way for a permanent position, and that shift will happen in September. Kelly Ripa is... And what's the producer's name? Gelman?
Yes.
I guess this was a top secret deal, and they didn't find out till like a half an hour before he announced it on the air.
Oh, no.
And they're very sad, because I guess Kelly Ripa didn't know about Regis leaving either, and she was kind of blindsided
weird.
By that.
I thought that had been made into a big thing when he was leaving.
But his announcement, he didn't give her any warning. So over the past 2 years on GMA...
So not like Star Jones.
No. Well, they knew she was leaving, but their party was planned for Friday.
She didn't know.
She quit on Tuesday. She said, see you later.
Yeah, I gotta go.
Over the past 2 years, Michael's proven to be a tireless and versatile broadcaster with an incredible ability to connect with people, from veterans and all kinds of newsmakers to a host of modern American cultural icons, said somebody I don't know. Live, which he's on with Kelly, will kick off a search for a new co-host when the new season begins in the fall. Michael will continue on the NFL on Fox, which I love to see him in a suit too. Mm-hmm. He's just very personable and very funny, and this has got to be a big move for him. What a move up the ladder.
Yeah.
From a delightful, and I think ABC owns, no, because they play opposite The View in a lot of markets. So I think, and one of the networks actually owns Live, even though it's syndicated, they own the rights.
Oh,
like,
okay.
Like, The View isn't syndicated. The View is an ABC show. It's not a syndicated program. So I don't remember. But this is a big deal, because now he's in part of the, you know, the news entertainment division. It's a good career step for him.
It is. And he's just, it seems super down to earth and funny as
and
hell.
And a delight. And I was really kind of like, why would you have him on this talk show? Mm-hmm. And then I was sold in a hot second.
Yep. And you can go with whether he's a beautiful man and he's this and he's all of that. But his personality is fantastic. Mm-hmm. Everything that he presents is just very funny and very kind.
Yeah.
He seems very, very kind.
And did I mention I find him incredibly really fucking attractive?
Production company is ABC.
Oh, so but it is that, ABC Productions. ABC, okay. And because I know that they sometimes they can,
Michael Gelman, by the way.
Yeah, Michael Gelman. And they always call him Gelman. Mm-hmm. So now they're saying that maybe Kelly Ripa will go with another woman. And they might try to get a little bit of that. Yeah, they might try to get a little bit of that Hoda, Kathy Lee energy.
Sure.
Which I am sorry.
High full circle.
Plus Kathy Lee, the mm-hmm. wife of the most famous New York Giant.
Absolutely.
And back That's to right. a New York Giant. That's and right. I can't remember what I was going to say.
So if she gets another woman in there, they're going to call it Live with Faith and Hope, like her TV series used to be?
Oh, I love that show. Because I love What's Her Butt Murphy. What was Murphy? Sherwood Forrest. I know Corky Sherwood Forrest.
Right.
Because when she married Miles Forrest and she realized her name would be Sherwood Forrest. And the fact that they had that they didn't get together till like season 8.
Right. But that joke had been lying in wait all the time.
Oh, I'd just been waiting for that. And it was a juicy, juicy, juicy one. But I just want to say, as much as we all just want to like snub our noses at it and make fun of Kathy Lee and Hoda.
Faith Ford.
And the fact that we all want to pretend that we don't like that show and we're annoyed by her, it's just, it's entertaining.
Yeah,
it is. I enjoy it.
Yeah. I sit there with one eye open like, God damn me for enjoying this so much. They're just boozy broads. Like, I just imagine that if Kat had her book fair, those two would just be sitting there drinking wine out of their purse.
Sure, absolutely.
And I think we could have both of them on there because I've liked Kathy Lee. Even through all the crazy, I enjoy her.
We have an open invitation. And this if you're listening, if you have a way to get to them, we have an open invitation for Kathy Lee and Hoda to stop by our studio.
We'll get them a taller table.
Rachel Maddow can come by any fucking time
anytime.
She wants.
But Michael she's got Strahan, a drink, though.
Apparently.
Oh, yeah. She loves to make cocktails.
And I want to get Anderson Cooper drunk and get to the bottom of that fucking story. That bag of crazy. So the I didn't say this in the headlines, but here it is. The Pulitzer Prize winners were announced for 2016. And Lin-Manuel Miranda has won the Pulitzer Prize for drama for his musical Hamilton, much to Kat's surprise. So
wonderful.
There are Tonys coming and all sorts of wonderful awards coming his way. But the Pulitzer is a big fucking deal.
What do you think with him? Do you think this is a... And I don't want to belittle anything he's done previously because I don't know everything that he's done. But obviously, this has really made a mark for him and his talent. Do you think that this is a... Dare I say, is this a one-trick pony?
Oh,
is this,
no.
What's coming next?
Who knows? But In the Heights was a charming, like, West Side Story-ish take about Washington Heights.
And fun music.
And fun music and a great love story. Some beautiful songs, some hip-hop in there. Oh. Then he collaborated with Sondheim and did the Spanish, putting the West Side Story, giving it Spanish lyrics. Which worked in some songs, didn't work in others, so they tweaked it a few times. While it was running, they made some adjustments to it.
Okay.
And now he's done this, and it started off Broadway, and it's like American history, completely told colorblind. What's his butt? Jonathan Groff from Looking, Cutie Patootie, that does Anything Goes online. He does the Sutton Foster imitation of Anything Goes from Broadway, does a whole tap dance. He plays King George in a funny, like, pompous, silly way, and a couple guys from Rent are in it. And so, I mean, but it's all colorblind casting. Everybody's of different colors, even though they're playing the Founding Fathers. Mm-hmm. So there's just a lot going on, but there's a lot of, it's good history. It's actually based on the biography of Hamilton set to hip hop music. So it's just such a groundbreaking show, and the songs are really good. Like,
I've debated getting the soundtrack just because I haven't seen the whole thing. I've seen parts of it, like, you know, Colbert had them on one day and then they did a couple different things, so I've seen parts of it, but I don't the whole thing. But obviously that is a great way to learn history,
to learn and get a little bit about,
figure, right? And I plead ignorance. I don't know enough about Hamilton.
Yeah, the guy on our $10 bill, he invented the U.S. Treasury. Like, the reason we have money is because and a federal bank is because of Hamilton. He like did a lot for our country, and he gets screwed because he's on the 10. Who the fuck needs a 10? You got 2 fives. I got 10 singles. I don't need
I prefer the. I prefer
so the, and so and one of the funny arguments is that here is this man who just over time things have gotten kind of screwed up. He's kind of a beloved part of our history, and he's on the 10. And then one of the worst presidents ever, Andrew Jackson, is on the 20, and he's just an atrocity at every step of the way. Like, he's the Trail of Tears. He's, you know, sending the Indians to Oklahoma. I mean, it's just awful, the things that he did. And he's prominently featured in the 20.
Sorry.
So when they're saying, like, what bill should the women get? Mm-hmm. And that's, like, one of the questions was, well, we don't want the... Well, first off, we'll put any woman we want on there. Fuck you. But second of all, we don't want the 10. We want the 20. Get that asshole off there.
Sure.
So for a musical to win the Pulitzer Prize is very rare. Your runner-ups were Gloria by Brandon Jacob Jenkins and the Humans by Stephen Karam. Don't know what that is. But Hamilton is the 9th musical, as opposed to a non-musical dramatic work, to take home the Pulitzer Prize for drama. So it's very rare for it to be a musical. The other 8 with the Year of Award include Of Thee I Sing, which I think is Irving Berlin. South Pacific from 1950. Fiorello, 1960. How to Succeed in Business Without Really Trying, 1962. A Chorus Line, 1976, Sunday in the Park with George, or The 3 hours I Spent Trying to Knock Myself Unconscious on the Back of the Theater Seat, 1983. I hated that fucking show. Rent, 1996, and Next to Normal, 2010. So aside from Fiorella and Hamilton, I've seen all the Pulitzer Prize winners for drama and that are musicals. Nice. So that's just very exciting, and Kat's been talking that up.
Oh, yeah.
Go online and buy it. Now, the Book of Mormon, what they did when they were trying to, like, push that album, and they may do it before the Tony Awards to get people interested in the Tony Awards, watch for iTunes. They may sell the album for, like, $1.99, because that's what they did with the Book of Mormon, and that's how everybody got it, so that they could, like, build up revenue.
Cool.
As they discount that to get it sold around the country. We had a death of an actress that I really love. I was mad at about 4 out of her 5 Emmys. But I always loved her. Doris Roberts, character actress who labored honorably both on stage and screen for years before finding the perfect vehicle for her talents in Everybody Loves Raymond's, died on Sunday. She was 90. Still close with Patricia Heaton. They had lost Peter Boyle, who played
the father.
The father.
But he died like minutes after the show series ended.
Roberts was nominated for 11 Emmys, including 7 for playing Marie Barone on Raymond, winning 4 for her work on that series. So it's only 3 of hers that I begrudge her for. She picked up her first Emmy in 1983 for a guest appearance on St. Elsewhere. She did a 5 overall. She was, if you watch the show Angie in the 70s,
Angie.
She was Angie's mom on that show. She was on 9 million sitcoms that lasted a season
and
or less.
And the funny thing is, even back in Angie, which was like in 76 or 7, somewhere in that area, she looked the same. She looked like that character.
Yeah.
Even at that, 35 some odd years ago, she looked exactly the same.
I said she's like Elaine Stritch. She looked like an old boozy broad in 1971. Right. So, you know.
And she kept playing
the fact
it.
That she made it through 2012, 40 years later, she was still pulling off.
She was also in a couple episodes of All in the Family where one was titled Edith's Night Out, where Edith goes out on the town and this is one of the women, like, friends that goes with her.
Yeah.
But yeah, you're right. She was in everything. Character actress for so many years.
Donna Pascal.
Yeah. And the funny thing is, I forgot if Donna Pascal was the name of the character that I realized. It's called Angie.
Yeah.
Angie, I think it's Angie. Right. So Donna Pascal played Angie.
Right.
And she was her mom. And, I can't think of the name of the guy who played her boyfriend. He was in Airplane.
Robert Hayes.
Robert Hayes.
Yeah. Yep.
So I just looked because that Deborah Lee Scott, who had played, was it her sister or whatever?
Oh, in the series?
Yeah. I didn't
on
realize
Angie?
That she had died.
I didn't either.
She was on Welcome Back, Carter.
Oh.
Cotter. And Mary Hartman, oh God, which was one of the greatest shows. And she passed.
I didn't realize that.
In 2005. Oh, yes. She was on Too Close for Comfort, too.
Yeah.
Oh, wait. Which one? The blonde or the brunette?
The brunette.
Oh, no. She wasn't on Too Close. I'm thinking of Deborah von Furstenberg or whatever her name is.
Okay.
No. That's not her. Deborah Lee Scott is... She's on everything you mentioned except for Too Close for Comfort. She's not one of the two daughters.
Oh, I thought that she was. Okay.
But if you go to that show and look up the cast, you'll see who you think you mean.
Yeah.
Okay, so Robert's...
90 years old. That's a good long run.
So for the character of Marie, she combined aspects of Romano's Italian mother and series producer Phil Rosenthal's German-Jewish mother. They are different rhythms, different personas. I meld them together. And I didn't really like Everybody Loves Raymond when it was on. It always kind of like struck me as too kitschy and too like just too much. But now that I watch it in repeats, it was...
Yeah, I like the repeats.
And plus I was always mad at her for winning Lisa Kudrow's Emmys.
Oh.
Like, she was always up against the cast of Friends, and I either wanted Lisa Kudrow or Rachel Green. What's her name? Jennifer Aniston. So I was always mad. I'm like, you can have one. You can't have four. Like, put three of them back and give them to someone else.
Oh. All right.
You cannot have them all.
But if you go back and watch it, she is very funny.
Van Valkenburg.
Yes.
Deborah Van Valkenburg.
Oh, yes. That's right. From Too Close for Comfort. That's the dark-haired daughter.
Correct.
Yeah. Born in St. Louis. Father deserted the family. Mother raised her in the Bronx with the aid of her own parents. She took her stepfather's name.
I didn't realize all
she
that.
She was on Broadway in Last of the Red Hot Lovers. She appeared in Bad Habits. So she just had this long, long career. I mean, just this thing is just going on and on and on. Lots of fun. And the show that we talked about last week called True Inside on that horrible, horrible, horrible station, Don't Judge Me, True TV, they have one good show on there.
Right. You talked about that.
They did, this week's show wasn't about a movie, it was about the comedy club in New York called the Comedy Cellar in the Village that's below a Middle Eastern restaurant. And it's this place where all these people come from, and it's where Ray Romano comes from.
Ooh,
and he brought other comedians with him as the writers, and they created... all of these people from this comedy club created this show, and they talk about her in the because his act became the stand-up. It's another one of those shows like Roseanne that his act, or Seinfeld that his act became the show.
Sure.
So she had to go and hear stuff about his mom to see how to play her, and then she just added in the other producer's grandmother too, because he was a stand-up comic too.
So cool.
She listened to everyone's stories in their stand-up about their families and made them into the characters.
Oh, well, so, I still enjoy that show. I always have.
So very funny. The New Girl got renewed for season 6, and if you have not watched last Tuesday's New Girl, where she accidentally goes through a car wash. Because she's trying to prove she's not stalking someone, but she's like following them everywhere and like gets in the back of their truck, and he takes the truck through a car wash, and she's trying to hide because he has a restraining order, and he goes through a car wash, and she has to jump out, and she ends up in the car wash.
Oh,
and it's just physical humor. And it's just such a cute show.
Sure.
Like, not a lot of people watch it, but
and
it's
now
genuinely
that's the guy
charming.
Who, there's a is it Schmidt?
Yeah, that's in Hello, My Name is Doris.
Got it. Okay.
That's the love interest in that movie, Doris. Speaking of another Doris. And he's just genuinely charming.
We were going to go see that this weekend because it was my mom's. That was the other big thing. As I'll grab another beer. Oh.
What?
I She's going to reach into her beaver and get a beer.
Refrigerated beaver.
Speaking of my mom.
My cold beaver. Mom was 22 years of sobriety.
Wednesday,
and so we went out and celebrated. I had some cocktails, and she did not. Thank goodness, because that would have fucked.
Well,
then
it just would have reset the timer.
Yeah. Would have fucked that up.
Yeah,
but we went and saw The Boss.
Oh,
with McCarthy.
How was that?
I I'm easily entertained.
Yeah.
I mean, there was a great Breakfast Club reference because Kristen Bell's character's name is Claire, and answer the question, Claire. And I just loved it. So I enjoyed it. A good waste of an hour and some, yeah. You know. But we were going to go see Hi, My Name is Doris. And I said, Mom, you choose. And I was a little disappointed that she didn't choose to go see that. So I still have to see that. That'd be great.
So New Girl's renewed. I'm very happy about that because every time I think I'm going to stop watching that show, they have an episode that just charms the pants out of me. And if you could ever find the one where the character that she's stalking in this one a couple seasons ago, she broke up with him and he turned up at a party and she like walks, smacks into a like, there's a wall that's all a window and she thinks she's trying to get outside. Like the show doesn't do physical comedy, but every once in a while it does and it just lands. Orphan Black is back as of last week with season 4 on BBC America. Tatiana Maslany, just getting it done. Although I will say that we're focusing on a new clone. So my clone, Allison, who I absolutely adore and can't wait for her and the gay kid to get together and get their juju on. They have not been together yet, but and good. Serial season 2. I think we talked about it last week.
We did.
About Bo Bergdahl. I finally got to the end of it. I spent some quality time possibly recuperating from a hangover.
Possibly.
Oh, no, it was my stiff neck that I had nowhere to go. I was enjoying my coffee and Advil dinner.
Okay.
It's part of the food pyramid. Look closer. Mm-hmm. It's got a beaver in there. It's right near the picture of the beaver on the food pyramid.
Near the top of the pyramid.
What an amazing, amazing, amazing series that was for season 2. Fascinating story, fascinating ending. Still with that, I'm not going to take a side that drives me fucking crazy.
Yeah.
That you're left with this open question. And I have to say, there's one, and I think I may have said this last week, there is one story that he tells and his reaction to it. Not only I can hear myself picking that part out of that story and being, you know, how sometimes I find the one thing to focus on and I get really pissed off about that and I lose sight of the bigger picture.
Not you.
You know, never.
I've never heard like, such a beaverific thing in my life.
Like all of a sudden I'm going to go on for 17 hours about the cows that need milking.
I've never heard it.
When talking about a vegan. But he just focuses on this one thing. And it really was. And you realize like there's a little touch of mental illness there. Okay. Maybe a little bit. The fact that he was, you know, discharged from the Coast Guard because he couldn't make it through boot camp in the Coast Guard, but then miraculously finds his way to the Army because during the surge, they were pretty much taking anybody who walked up to the door, so maybe he slipped through the cracks, and maybe this is someone who they shouldn't have put into a stressful situation, but, you know, how much vetting do you do of someone's mental health before you send them over there? Is this a reason why we have so much PTSD in our returning soldiers? Like, is this something that we should, or should we just stop going to war, which I think would be the easier thing.
Better thing.
But it really is interesting to decide, like, did the Army make a mistake? Did he make a mistake? Was this just a really misguided thing that he did, hoping for something more noble? Was he in cahoots with the Afghans? I don't believe that part at all. That part doesn't make any sense.
I agree.
Or there's all those conspiracy theorists that say that in the one video, the girl taking the video is pregnant and he converted to Islam and he married this girl and got her pregnant and now he's like, I mean, people who clearly watched Homeland watched that one video and got a whole story. I watched, I read the comments behind it and I'm like, okay, you people fucking crazy.
Okay.
Like how you got that she was pregnant, that was his wife, he was now practicing, which good on you. I mean, you've been captured, you're living with these people, perhaps it would be good to observe their religious customs. I mean, there's no harm in that. But very strange.
So this is going to maybe sound silly, but is there any kind of a, I want to say Stepford, and that's just not it. When someone had, like Patty Hearst had.
The Stockholm Syndrome.
Stockholm Syndrome.
You don't know. He pretty much lived in a cage and was let out for videos, and when they found out.
It sounds like that.
Right? No, yeah, but that part about him being like changing religions, no one knows. That's just something
about. But I mean, just Stockholm kind of thing.
There's no proof that he ever did anything like that. He just gave proof of life videos. Like, there's nothing of him like robbing a bank with a beret and a machine gun. Like, Yep. They're just
like your dog. Of,
like my- it's just really nut jobs watching a YouTube video and making adding,
shit up.
Adding all this context. You're like, where are you getting?
Here's
that?
The scenario. Let's make the guy taller and let's.
Yeah, and, I mean, but he really does have to say things like, you know, Americans are killing us over here. Get your, you know, there's stuff that clearly you're gonna say when you're held hostage. Right. Doesn't mean you believe it, but you're gonna spread the propaganda. But and the fact that he was so fucked up mentally. That he couldn't see his family for a really long time because he couldn't talk. No one had talked to him for years. Right. He was left alone. He doesn't speak their language. They didn't speak English. There was almost no one to communicate with.
Okay.
And they didn't start feeding him till right before they realized they were going to do the exchange. And so the whole politics of the exchange and who these five people are, it's riveting, riveting, riveting.
Okay. Well, how did he survive the previous 5 years if they just started feeding him? Well, I don't understand that.
No, he was very thin and frail and like really on the verge. And the last proof of life video is when they decided it's now or never because he's dying.
Oh.
And then when everyone agreed to it in secret without Congress, which is something that Obama did that, you know, bad optics. Whatever you're doing, you know, do have to do it secretly. You can't trust the Congress. You do it secretly, but it just doesn't look good.
Mm-hmm. Well,
and so they started to fatten him up a little bit so he would look better treated.
Gotcha.
Well, and Anant, I know, is hearing this a little bit behind, but that's the big thing with how many people with the same kind of past were let in
to the armed forces, that's what I'm saying.
And that's a scary, scary thing, yeah.
But, I mean, if you go on the website, and just, it's so, you can go so deep into that hole. They have all the statistics of, like, who they would not let in before the surge and who they let in afterwards. Like,
that's frightening.
All the different kinds of histories that they're like, no, you can't serve, that they were like, come on in. Because they needed to do the search, and there was no one left. People had been on, like, 4 and 5 tours. So it's very interesting. Get on Serial at PBS.org, I think it is, or Serial.org.
And it's S-E-R, not C-E-R.
Right, Serial. I'm assuming that you know the difference between homonyms.
I want to make sure people understand.
Yeah.
You can get that podcast.
Yeah.
It's
intermixed with our podcast. It comes up in my podcast feed.
Yeah.
But I just found it fascinating from every angle that she investigates it from. And one of the optics that comes off as really strange is when he comes home and they didn't plan on any kind of a ceremony, but just out of nowhere, the Bergdahl family was in Washington, D.C., like working with some congressmen, doing some sightseeing. They were there when they were announcing that he was being released to Germany.
Oh, okay.
And then they were just going to do a press release. But then the people that worked so hard to get him released were excited. They thought, oh, this is a great chance to get the photo op with the family and do it. And then all of a sudden, it was a nice day. Let's do the Rose Garden. And it just spiraled into this, making him into a hero. And then Susan Rice, who should never be allowed on Sunday morning chat shows because she always fucks it up.
Okay.
From Benghazi to Bergdahl. The bees are not her area.
Not her thing.
And she says the wrong thing on the air on a talk show. And it just gives everybody, it was bad optics and it was bad soundbite.
What did she say?
She called him like that he served with distinction and he was a hero. Okay. And that just set everybody off. Like he was a deserter.
Right.
Like almost, there's no way to not paint him as a deserter.
Right. She was the one who was painting that picture.
But she only said one sentence, but they just crucified her for it. She said it on one show, one sentence.
Got it.
But it was like, oh, that's just don't.
Okay.
But she was talking about someone in the service. It's just what you normally say.
So, but was it because of that it became? Is he a hero?
Right, the Rose Garden was the wrong place to do it. Her comment on Sunday was the wrong time to say it.
And then that just blew up.
And it blew up and everybody was insulted. But it's riveting. So, Serial... Season one was really good. Season two, and people were telling me that it was better, and I wasn't believing them. I didn't see how it could.
Sure.
Riveting.
Okay.
The girls from Veep starts this weekend. That we
Excited
will not be.
About
we
that.
Will not be on delay.
We'll not be missing that. No.
What's his butt's not in
and,
the room?
And that's the thing that was funny to me about the boss. Jonah is in that.
Oh God damn it! I didn't know that.
He's in it with the smaller gentleman.
Peter Dinklage?
Thank you.
Oh, okay.
I realize you're going that small.
I'm like, but yeah, I couldn't think of his name. Anyway, he's So the two of them with how tall and,
oh,
and
yeah.
how short. It's very funny.
Oh, the Cloud Botherer. That's my favorite nickname on that they call him on that show. Right. So for in honor of 420 Amina, tomorrow the girls from Broad City, because tomorrow night is the season finale of Broad City. And then they start in honor of 420. It's called Time Traveling Bong. And according to them, it's just off the rails. Stupid, offensive, as is everything they do. But they had so much fun doing it, and the review of it just said, just sit down, smoke a bowl, laugh your ass off. Like, they're just crazy. So, Time Traveling Bong. That was your thing that I made you type when we were in the car today that said 420 Comedy Central.
Yeah.
It's on Comedy Central. I don't think... I think it's just the one girl. Now that I think about it, I think it's just the one girl, and I don't know their names on Broad City, but I think it's Alana and... I can't remember what the other one's name, but only one of them's in it. So that's it. So then we're going to finish this off with how the Republicans could win the election. I shared this at brunch yesterday. I wrote it down. So in case somebody comes on the news and says this, it came from me. I have proof. It's written down. It's time stamped.
Fair enough.
It's time stamped.
Trump takes the nomination. Cruz stops fighting and agrees because if the Republicans keep up their delay of the Supreme Court...
Okay.
They promise Cruz the seat on the Supreme Court because he's Harvard law educated. He's argued many cases.
Jesus, that I know, just gave me
but
an
I'm
upset.
Yes. Oh. But he is legitimately qualified to serve on the Supreme Court and fulfills their conservative agenda. And then you make Rubio the vice presidential nominee, and you are locked. You have Florida. You got crazy pants. You have young people, and you get Cruz out of the way by promising him what he probably really wants and can have the most effect on the Supreme Court. And I think if the Republicans listen to me, they have a really good shot with that trifecta.
Why don't you shut the fuck up?
I know. I said it out loud.
Stop talking.
This show will be redacted for a future listen.
Could you just hold it off
It came to me like a dream, but I have to tell you, I think it's genius. I think they should be sitting down in a back room and hammering out that deal, and I don't see who goes away mad.
I don't like the sound of any of it.
No.
But you got to admit, it's genius. You got to give me that. It's twisted.
Well, yes. I just don't even... I can't even think about it quite frankly.
No.
Because it gives me stress. Is it Alana Wexler and Abby Abrams?
Yeah, Alana and Abby. And I think Alana is the time-traveling bong and Abby's not in it. Because I think one of the things that they talked about... is what? How will the world deal with both of them apart?
Played by Alana Glazer.
Yeah.
Abby Jacobson plays the role of Abby Abrams.
Yeah.
That's it.
So my fucking bad. Funny. That show is just it's just workaholics with girls in it being the same stoner pigs that the guys are in Workaholics. It's sophomoric. It's dirty. It's a delight. I giggle through the whole thing,
which is beautiful.
So, I think I have his question, but I have to find out. And, yeah, I think I have a Nance question. And Sarah Ramirez, I'm not sure if she pings your gaydar because she's plays a lesbanian on...
Amina has, from day one, said things about Sarah Ramirez.
Oh, like, she's gorgeous. She's gorgeous.
Like, doesn't matter what it is, she's all of a sudden like Sarah Ramirez. Like,
and I would like
I have
to
listened to Mina.
I would like to be a bougie bitch and tell you that I saw her the night before opening night in Spamalot, her big star turn where she was discovered.
Bougie
bitch. And we standing room only for the night before opening night with Eric Idle, where you are. It was me, Rob, Eric Idle with not Chevy Chase, Dan Aykroyd and Donna Dixon sitting in the seats in front of me, and we just laughed our asses off, and she got like 4 standing ovations in Spamalot. And everybody was like, that's a big fucking star about to happen. And then she went on a dumb TV show and played a lesbian doctor.
Sure.
It's kind of a waste of all that woman can do. Okay. She is phenomenally talented and so sweet because she stayed afterwards in the in Schubert Alley and signed autographs the entire time.
Nice.
Like everybody, I mean, people wanted Eric Idle's autograph and David Hyde Pierce was in it. And I mean, it was a big cast, but she stood there all alone in her glory and like, signed, everybody just knew, like, you gonna be a big star. And she won the Tony, like, 2 months later.
Oh.
Just an amazing talent.
Yeah. And she is very, very
And
pretty.
She's very beautiful.
Yeah.
She's Sarah Ramirez. And I can't think of where she's from, but boy, does she gives you all the R's. She gives you all the beaver feelings.
Well, speaking of which, hey, nice beaver.
You got a good beaver there, Sarah. Atta girl. Mazat lunch.
I'm going to show you this one, too, because this was posted by a friend of mine on Facebook, and it made me laugh because it looks real, and then when you read through it, you know those memes, like how many people remember these different TV shows back when you were a kid or whatnot? Well, how many of you remember looking at all of these networks?
Oh.
Pornhub.
I'm all, wait.
Because I wanted Nickelodeon, Disney, oh, Pornhub. That made me laugh. How many of those pictures did you want me to get?
Oh, I didn't. I just thought that was funny because of the 420. So
okay,
because
I have more than I need.
Sure. Yeah, that's fine. That's fine. I just
so
thought
in
that
New
those
York
were...
it's now 420. So as the United States the Americas start to celebrate 420, a happy one to you all,
and a happy one to you as well.
Yeah,
a happy one, and so thought that we should share some. We're high on these trippy 420 gifts.
Oh, okay.
April 20th, or 420, hasn't become a gift-giving day on par with Christmas or Valentine's Day yet.
And we're the poorer for it.
That possibility doesn't seem like just a pipe dream anymore. But as more states legalize marijuana, more entrepreneurs are trying to get some green by marketing products to stoners and potheads. In HuffPost Weird News, they have weeded out some of the weirder items that will surely light a fire.
Is this the same writer that writes for RuPaul? Because there's always some kind of a pun that she
gets. I love the puns.
Actually, I think Bruce Valanche writes for her, but anyway.
I'm not sure which that you have up.
Tell me which product you want to start with.
Well, you can be the Cannaboss, the first one that was on there.
Is that the suit?
The suit.
This one?
Be the Cannaboss. Look up at the...
Oh.
Come on, that's ridiculous.
Get it.
Got an important date at 420? Show up in style with this pot leaf decorated suit. You'll be the Cannaboss. And that's not just a pipe dream. Halloween costumes, you can get that for $99.99.
I can't you imagine.
Can, well, perhaps you don't know.
It's a little busy.
It's a little busy.
A little.
I don't mean to criticize.
Maybe. What about the coffee mug pipe?
Boom.
This is sort of the Reese's peanut butter cup of pipes. It's two great tastes.
I can't look at that.
Pot
it's too tempting.
And coffee.
That's how we'll
that
end up
go great together. Stoners can drink coffee from the mug part while smoking their cannabis from the mouthpiece.
You have to get
in the handle.
Away.
Isn't science great?
I am
will never leave
Zang,
home.
Zangproducts.com, $49.99.
Coffee and pot. Al is finally
sold.
Happy.
Exactly.
I would never talk to anyone again unless you were bringing me more pot or more coffee.
And in case you need to go out on the town and you would like to have a drink with you, no, you can get, but you're not a coffee drinker, but you like tea. There's the cannabis infused tea.
That's a shitty shot for this product. Anyway.
Yeah, it is. I agree. Cannabis or iced tea is a great thirst quencher, but Jane's Brew puts the THC in tea.
Jane's Brew.
Oh, that's good. Mary
that's good.
Jane's
Slip
Brew.
That in.
That's
it
good.
It comes in three flavors, black, unsweetened, and of course,
and smoky.
Green.
Smoky, I forgot to clean out the bowl. It's
only available in California.
Tar flavor.
Houseofjane.com for $15.
Tar flavor? What'd you say?
Oh, and yeah, it's news. Right. It's a long story.
So I just thought some of these were cute. There's the
but could you imagine with that iced tea?
Hoodie.
Because all you would just have to drink that on the toilet.
Of course.
Because you're kind of stoned, you're kind of thirsty, you drink iced tea that gets you more stoned, that means you have more caffeine and more water. Just sit on the toilet.
Well, if you
just
ever
keep your beaver above
an
outlet.
If you're ever out riding your bike and you're chilled, you might need your vaporware hoodie.
Oh no.
Go ahead and look up.
She doesn't understand how this works.
To get a hit without having to reach into your pockets to get the vape? The Vaporware hoodie is for you. The hood is a special vape system that will hold e-juice, oil, wax, or dry herb. Then you just reach and suck on what it looks like a hood lace.
It's kind of like a camelback.
And you get stoned to the gills. Thank you, science. Go to Native Roots Dispensary for $120.
Serves two.
Or you can just if you want to get if there's the masturbation church, the church of the masturbatory hell, you can get the bong belly ring.
Oh, Why?
Well, because he said no piercings, no tattoos. So I just, but you have the bong belly ring. Some people like to pierce their bellies with jewels or simple metal studs. Others,
stupid.
Like
I need
those
a dollar
who are
bill
really
by that
into the wacky tabacky, will probably enjoy this stony stud that includes a miniature bong. No, the bong doesn't actually work. Yes, it would be cool if it did. You can go to overstock.com.
Because, I mean, if that's at your belly button, you're going to have a bong right by your beaver.
Well, maybe somebody wants to go down
your beaver's
and smoke
gonna be,
that
yeah,
bong.
You're gonna be crazy. Your beaver's going to be wanting some Fritos later.
Now, I think we should actually get you're this. Good. The drunk, stoned, or stupid board game.
Wait.
At some point in your life, you will probably do something that will make people question whether you are drunk, stoned, or stupid. Now, that embarrassing question has been turned into a board game. Hopefully, you won't be too drunk, stoned, or stupid to understand the rules. Go to drunkstonedstupid.com. We can get the game for $15, and we'll have that next week.
Oh, my God. You have to. We got to make that a game.
We're going to
You
got to
tell a story, and you got to say a few words, because some of them I'm just genuinely stupid. Perfectly sober.
Well, maybe that's a new segment.
Thought
drunk,
you said
stoned,
falling
or stupid.
Stoned or stupid.
That's, I mean, that's
and
good.
And the funny part is we're going to play this game with somebody who's
never been
one of those things.
Right, right. That's true.
And I'm going to eliminate drunk and stupid.
Well, there's also the Stoner Puzzle Stash in activity book for the high-minded.
I could not imagine being stoned and doing a puzzle. That would be like eternity.
That would be very
because time goes pretty slow, but if you add a puzzle to that shit,
it's
oh hot, damn.
It's an, a pot-oriented.
An activity book for the high-minded.
Yeah. It's a great way to occupy your time until you're ready to once again operate heavy machinery.
And word search. I can only find the word cat. Just cat.
We can get, if we want to listen to some music, the Reefer Blues CD, Adults Only, Women Cry For It, Men Die For It, the Reefer Blues, Vintage Songs About Marijuana. Guess what? College freshmen, you aren't the first to discover the joys of combining marijuana and music. So we can get that at overstock.com.
Oh, and I have to tell you, just in honor of 420 tomorrow, they did a off Broadway 15, 20 years ago. They did a musical version of Reefer Madness that is just one of the funniest fucking things. And somebody filmed it. Like, at one point, it became a, I don't know if it was a cable movie or a regular movie, but I have it on DVD. It is one of the funniest fucking things that's ever happened to have that movie set to music, and it's got Anna Gasteyer. And just and she has one of the funniest musical bits in that movie that almost makes you shit your pants. I can't. Oh my God! We have to find Anna Gasteyer singing the song. Just find her singing the song where she just screams something out, and like somebody drops a glass of milk across the street, and a cat screams in the distance. It's just, it's priceless. It is one of the funniest things. I got to see it on stage years ago, and then when they did the movie, you're not prepared.
Well, there are other board games. Utter Nonsense board game, maybe one of the weirdest board games we've ever seen. Perfect for stoners. Players choose a variety of phrase cards that they then have to perform in a wacky accent chosen by the judge. We could totally do this.
Oh, yeah.
It would be like crime scene footage. And yes, many
the
of the
only
accents
I can do is designing women, but we'll,
are
we're
inappropriate.
Gonna done.
It's hilarious trying to say a phrase fit for a valley girl in the accent of a grandma or a chicken. The costumes are simply representative in this picture that are not included. It's at utternonsensegame.com. $25. The Chronic Sellers Wine. Wine and weed go together quite well, but most wineries don't necessarily want to play up the symbiotic relationship. So you can go to Paso Robles, California, and chroniccellar.com. $14.99 to $26. Chronic Sellers. Purple Paradise, Paso Robles.
And it's a lovely place to visit.
Sofa King Bueno.
So fucking bueno.
Anyway, I just thought that these were very
well,
funny.
Delightful.
And for 420, the Lord of Cannabis board game. I mean, there are all kinds of things that we can wacky tobacky board game.
And it looks like isn't legal weed going to be on our ballot in November?
I believe so. If you want to watch marijuana porn, Al, it's right here. 14
porn's better on marijuana too.
Of marijuana porn.
Oh, Laura should hear about that.
I'll have to send it to her.
So, oh, that is
anyway,
funny.
Very funny. The end.
All right, give us a dance break, and then we'll...
Okay. Oh, we'll do that. And
I got to dump a bug.
I'm not sure what he means by that. Hi, Harrison.
We're gonna do a couple dance breaks. So stand by. We'll be right back.
If you think it sucked so far, just wait till after this 30-second dance break.
Well, the squirrels are back in the attic. Your dad won't call an exterminator. He says it's personal this time. Where are you? It's very loud there. Are you taking a Zumba class?
What's this? It's a 30-second dance break.
And now, Thoughtful Vulgarity, where we in the studio try to make ourselves slightly less shallow. Which is not hard to do. We will ask one question of the panel while fucked up drunk. Because you know at home how well it goes when important questions come up several hours after alcohol has been served. Politics, religion, why not? What could possibly go wrong? Who could you offend? Good luck.
Well, we'll do a Nance question of why do we think everyone's so obsessed with perfect bodies and like ideal images and stuff like that?
I've been obsessed with that since I can't tell you when I got up and, oh no,
go ahead.
No, just I was fucking around because I have such a,
we like nice things,
perfect physique. I think that it's going back to media, all kinds of media, when you just like with women, when just to take women for example, we're always told to compare ourselves to other women. What the hell?
Sorry,
is that?
Oh, it's him.
I'm like,
I just wanted to make sure
hell?
We were pronouncing it right.
Yeah. But you know, at a very, very, very young age, the cover of Vogue, women on the cover of Vogue, yeah. And all the cover of all these magazines, and the airbrushing that they're doing. More now, I think, than they did years and years ago.
I think we're just more aware of it.
More
now.
Aware of it, sure. But we're taught you need to look like this person. You need to look at these people and emulate them and try to become them. I'm a little concerned about the zhuzh that you just
my zhuzh.
But that's where I think it comes from. You know, granted, there's TV and there's this and that, but think about it with the media. You're told that you can't be a... look at Jane Pauley as far as broadcasters.
Yeah.
Right? You're too old. You're not pretty enough.
Yeah, and I think my thing is it's just trying to... is that everybody's just struggling to, like, get back to this youth that we're trying to capture because, at least in our culture, I just don't think we have any respect for anyone who ages.
Like, not at all.
Like, you know, everybody's just put out to pasture and ignored, and the family dynamic doesn't have any real respect for elders. And so you just, it's just that chasing of constant youth that is so useless. Like,
you're never going to get back there.
No, as I said to a friend once, you're never going to catch it.
No.
It's gone.
Keep trying.
Be healthy. Try to be healthy.
Of course.
And whatever is feels good to you, but I think like, and that focus on people of like dismissing people because they don't look a certain way or that like no femmes, fatties or whatever, you know what I mean? Like,
sure.
Which there's a comic that talks about like you can't put like no Asians and then say I'm not racist. You know what I mean? Like you can't put things on there that say, well, I don't sleep with those people. Well, maybe meet someone and you might have a connection besides like their appearance. It's very, very strange that the focus on appearance. And I think
gays
bought into it and just turned into like all of a sudden gays started getting 12-year-old girl diseases. And I'm like, we need to start having a much more healthy conversation about what the human body looks like, but not into unhealthiness, like not to just, you know, be fat to be fat, like try to be healthy.
Sure.
Or the healthiest version of yourself.
God, I hope that this isn't it. I'm just timing. I'm going to throw that out there as I take it.
Every time I like a food, they add it to the list that's got something wrong with it. Clayton, thoughts?
But it's true.
To that, well, where'd I go? Hang on. I got oddly, you bring that up because I just saw a campaign on Facebook that, I don't know if this is where Amina might have found this or maybe this question came from. But there was a campaign, and I think this is in the UK. I may be wrong on that. That was a billboard that was all about, is your body beach ready? It was a, the billboards were kind of like this. Is your body beach ready? And then there was a huge backlash and outrage against it because they were making it out to be that you had to be the perfect body. So they were altering the signs. Like this one is each body's ready. Like everybody's ready. And then there was a lot of tagging and graffiti put on these billboards because it's like, quit objectifying women, quit objectifying perfect bodies, you know, just calm down. And it is, the campaign went very backwards for these people. Oh, wait, I don't know if that's what you were talking about.
And then Anand just brought up like men's health and men's health is the worst one. GQ's not as bad, but men's health is just, and those people are airbrushed. It's unrealistic pictures. And it gets people on crazy diets and people just making like, but my favorite thing is these people that are on like these fantastic diets, but then they're like sitting at the bar next to you, like slamming 17 drinks and can't hold their liquor because they haven't eaten anything in 3 days.
Well, and not just that, but when you, I was just telling you now, it's a shame song, you know,
shame song. We haven't heard from her in a while. We haven't heard from that beaver in a while.
Shame song.
The actual beaver or the one impersonating the beaver?
The one impersonating.
And now, would that be a faux beaver?
Yeah, a faux beaver.
Would be.
My
would
faux be beaver.
A faux beaver?
I have phobias. Faux beavers.
You know, the difficult thing when it comes to... I cannot process and read that, so I apologize. Yeah. 1 second. You know, the male perspective, because guys are always, especially, and it's very funny to watch guys get to a certain age, and then all of a sudden, then that's not the thing anymore.
Yeah.
And the tune changes.
But gay men, but gay men,
looking back,
people are saying that it's for women and not men, but gay men got on that train about 20 years ago, and it is just maybe longer.
And I was just speaking from a female perspective, but I remember there was a gentleman who came into Tinseltown back in the day when it became Tinseltown after Hamburger Mary's, and he was 35, 36, and...
It's usually when it all goes south.
Good looking guy, you know, just and wonderful personality. Just everything was, he kind of had the whole package, if you will. But he also, I mean, lots of money, lots of this, like, so whatever it was that you were looking for, Todd had these things. And he was the saddest son of a bitch I had ever met.
Oh, yeah.
Because he's like,
he's done no work on himself.
No, but he's like, but he's like, I'm basically dead now.
Oh, because he was 35.
Because he was 35.
I thought maybe he was going to become neurotic and get hair plugs. I wasn't sure where the story was going.
No, sometimes that happens. Sometimes it doesn't. We don't know.
It happened in my house.
Yes, I know.
Not to me. No, clearly.
No. Clearly. Look at that. Look at that chrome dome right there.
But, that, you know, it was really eye-opening to me. To be like, what?
No, that's true.
I mean,
but that's an accurate statement. I mean, the gays hold on to that youth thing. And again... I go back and forth between feeling like that because you, depending on who you are in the world, in the gay world, I have a little bit of a different perspective because I still host things, I'm still out and about, I'm that, so I'm that person, but I'm not objectified by anything. I'm objectified by 60-year-old guys who are looking for somebody younger. That's sadly what it is.
But and everybody's guilty of it. Like no one can take a high road here. Everybody has seen someone walk in the bar and like, oh, he got fat or
right.
And I did that by walking by a mirror. I said, God, look. Ooh.
Girl. I look up, I'm like, who's
somebody's
that?
Somebody's in my house. Who the hell's here?
She looked, she's cute in the face.
But her face.
It's like, right. It's like Oprah Winfrey on Fat Cam. Sure. We have plus size brother Forrest Whitaker here. No, that's you. Oh. Yeah.
Mad TV.
That's
yeah.
funny.
So funny.
Well, and the, but it, the other issues that come up. I mean, when Anant is talking about, you know, the idea of male body issues, and then Amina has the intersex.
The intersex. That, and that's the,
I mean, trying to conform as.
And what are you? And then what are you? Like, which side are you conforming? What, that's tough. Right. That's rough.
I can't even imagine. Like to. This is difficult enough, and I don't even know what this yeah. is.
You and know? You know, and
like,
I,
for me, I don't have any.
There are certain things now that I'm like, you know what? The hair is gone. There's no like, we watched that ship sail away and did something about it. But there's days that I'm like, I'm just tired. Like, I'm not gonna look. I am not gonna look my best. I'm not gonna look young and fresh today. I'm fucking exhausted, and I'm old. And right. we're just going to deal with that. I'll take a nap. I'll get You're some rest. Old.
I, try do, every, again I do everything I can to just make sure that my shoes match my outfit. The end. Like, everything has to be, like, a color-coded.
But there's,
my,
you know...
My hats have to match. That's all.
But you try to be healthy. You try to, like, have a healthy meal. You know, walk a little. No, but in general, like, yeah. ride your bike, walk a little bit, get a little bit of sunshine, get the right amount of sleep. And then some days it's like... Okay, I can't bounce back from 2 days
well,
in Vegas.
That
like
one day, but yeah. I mean, otherwise you get I don't one get fresh day. Sleep. I don't eat right.
Yeah,
day,
but then you
I
go should. To Vegas for 48 hours yeah. and you come back and you look like you should be in a body bag because we're not young anymore. Like that city has sure. beat us down and nearly killed us, and they put your remains on the plane right. and hope you survive. And you need to recoup. It's going to take a couple of days. You have to like, you got to like, turn it off for a sure. day.
Sure. And I, with the idea of having to look either super slim girly or super muscular
male, you got to pick an extreme of one kind or another. That's
and,
tough.
Well, that's how it's presented.
Yeah.
No matter, and whether that's intersex or whether that's right here in this room, the idea yeah. of, you know, that's
which
how
one
it's
am I? Which one am I?
I don't know.
And I have a judgy
I'm
friend.
Say girly on a lot
oh,
of days.
Yeah. Wow.
I have a judgy friend in New York, and she'll look at a picture of a drag queen.
Yeah.
And she'll be like, "Oh, he's too heavy to do drag," and I'm like. I'll be like, oh, I know that guy. Like, he's right. a rail.
Right.
Oh, he's too heavy. What? Like, what to is that to do drag? Like, drag queens should be skinny. And I'm like, okay, now you have the first, and then she'll talk about like, aren't drag queens kind of a thing of the past because it's kind of disrespectful and like the trans community kind of has that down. Like, it feels like mockery. No, she has some political stance on that
oh,
stuff.
Interesting. Yeah.
It's very strange. But then she'll say that about a drag queen being too heavy based on a picture, and you realize like. Well, the picture makes them look a little bit heavier.
Well, they also, it's called padding, and they do characters.
Right,
right.
No, exactly. But you're looking, and you're like, well, okay. Like, but, like, how cruel is that to say to somebody, like, if that's your expressive art and now you're too fat to do that? Like, how cruel right. is that to say out loud?
Right.
But, yeah. I mean, it just kills me that things that people just instinctively go to putting someone down for, like, not conforming to a standard. Sure. And I think it's so dangerous. It makes people feel bad about... Who, like
everything.
It's who you are. Be a halfway decent person.
Well, and go ahead and take it back to when people are nine, 10, but going into puberty and going into different when everything is being portrayed that you have to look like this and you have to wear these clothes, this label. So it becomes what you're wearing. Who you're wearing.
Yeah.
Right?
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Oh, yeah, totally.
Oh, the label whores, the money whores. Oh,
absolutely.
That's tough, too.
So you have...
Man whores.
Well, that's you, too. But you have the outer shell
yeah.
that you have to portray a certain level, if you will. And then the same thing with
right
how it fits you.
And are you... Yeah, and then but and you got to kind of start asking yourself, like, instead of constantly looking in the mirror, looking for imperfections, like, are you doing anything to improve yourself? Like, are you reading?
Are you
exploring the world?
And
not exploring the world, but are you like looking outside right. your house to see are there people to meet? Are there like ways to enrich your life through like culture? Something you can do to like bring stuff in, like the news, get involved with something local. Like there's so many ways to make yourself a more interesting person, and you'll just become more attractive.
Sure,
because people will want to be around
well,
you. They may not want to
you
know
look in the
touch your beaver,
you're
but
attractive to yourself, and you like touching
and
your beaver.
There is absolutely that is absolutely. The end all that we'll just end it on that. You have to be attractive to yourself.
You do.
If you can find nothing but flaws, that's all anybody else is going to find in you.
And if you're the only person, everybody say these are your flaws, then
And if you give those people the power to say those things to you,
it's all about giving people the power.
Oh, if you give them the power to insult you and degrade how you look.
Like RuPaul says at the end of every show, if you can't love yourself, how the hell are you going to love somebody else? Can I get an amen?
An amen. Oh, that is so true.
Amen.
And there's bringing up transphobia. And really, when this trans thing has come out to the world, the transphobic community has just gotten huge.
Yes.
Like, all of a sudden, they're afraid of something they didn't know they were living right next to.
Oh, right. And the
coexisting, coexisting
and
every day of their life with.
That's where transphobia, I think, started when it became
everything.
Those bathrooms.
As soon as people start coming out of the closet, you got to deal with the hate mongers and the fear people first. Before somebody realizes, like, oh, that's just my teacher.
Oh my gosh, look what you've done. Look what you've done. You've wasted 3 hours of your life. You're never going to get back suffering with us. Thank you for doing it, though. Everybody in the chat room is there.
Bless you.
And the three of us are here. Tonight's show is consisted of Marnie Ryer, Al Perkins, and me. I'm Clayton McKee. Thank you for being with us. As we wrap up tonight's show on our 4-year anniversary, let's leave you with this parting thought. We will see you next Tuesday.
You've been listening to The Show on Q Talk America.